Morning, Minister.
Good morning, my dear.
How are you?
Hey, fine. Yes, long time.
Hey.
Yes.
What can we do? What can we say?
No, I was not well, but
now we are better.
That's a little better.
We thank God for that.
Yes, and how are you?
We're just trying there and there. It's hectic. I'm just juggling in between my work, my exams, and so on.
Yes.
Yeah.
I remember you say that, no.
But it's a job. Organizational work.
Yeah.
Parliament work. Ah. That's the bomb. Kimu dimu fed.
Yeah. Jacqueline Stone is the name of the woman.
Yo, when we were in PE last week, and comrades were telling us, yo, COVID, you know, people here in PE every day, we're like, yo.
Hospitals are filling up again.
Yeah, that's what they were saying in PE. And are those people, you know, they don't take issue of material. Come on, give it to my motoso.
Yo.
Live on about Toitoya. But Papa.
Oh my goodness.
I'm not a Korvari. If you are by Swang, I'm not a. For you know, but for now, you know, there's a lot that needs to be done. They need to be, I don't know, because I can see now most of our people have been watched by these pastors. Eh?
How are you, our chief whip?
I receive, Minister.
Yes. With open hands.
Good thanks
and
yourself.
I am aging.
But gratefully, Minister.
Is everybody in? Neliswa?
Not yet, Chair. We only need 2 members, then we can start. But I've received 4 apologies.
From?
From Honorable Sharif. Is attending the ward election, and Honorable Nobo, Sondi, and Sonyan. Oh, and Mam Shemwa. She's attending the PC on health.
Okay. So we're waiting. Is Masondo in? Because she was talking to me in the morning that there's a problem of network in Mpumalanga.
She's not yet in, Chair. I've just sent the link again.
Yeah, where she was in the morning, she told me.
And then with me, Chair, also, there's a meeting starting at 10, but I won't go at 10.
Okay.
With your permission, at 10:30 of the economic cluster. They're trying to battle with this thing of economic revival, so we're checking on how far we're moving.
Oh, okay. It's fine. Yeah, ma.
Kunja.
Ah, dear Munjan.
Nikon. I also asked the office to apologize that I would need to leave, I think, at 11:15 or something. The meeting that got up, same meeting that Comrade Umai is talking about.
Oh, okay.
Thank you.
Okay, when I saw Uzuhamba, I was at 11:15.
Around 11.
Okay. I think by that time we'll be done. if not half past 11.
Okay.
It's fine, DM.
But even with them, I indicated that I might be late because I want to be here.
Oh, okay.
Sure.
So, Nelly, so we're short of one person. Nelly, so.
Yes, Chair, we're short of one person. I will check member Gweba. Member Masonto, she's joining. She managed to get network. I will also check her. I'm not sure what's that. I'll check both of them.
Okay.
Then, Prof. DM.
DM.
Okay, I'm muted, Minister.
Nikon,
how are you?
I'm alive.
That's good. That's good. We all need to. God has put us here for a reason.
Thanks.
I'm telling you, for a reason to save. Yeah.
Nibonile ECGE has appointed at long last OCEO.
He appointed by?
I ulo u Jamela. Yambon Jamela. Yeah. Manjo Anisha u Jamela Robinson. So kubangathi. Most of my family members, Bishop de la Belu. Like you know, most of the people, Babo, others are from Switzerland. So they are staying all over in Germany, Italy, what, all over.
They're global citizens.
Yeah. And you know those kids when they are visiting you. I'm talking about Bofigile. They can look there, around there, to find partners.
Yes.
I'm not picking up. Is there a phone net?
And certain chance of tetan numpweb, which is a so called lagunda boy, the network.
But she's gonna log in.
Yes, she's gonna log in. Oh,
now we're gonna log in.
Yeah. Nako Shongo.
Ungenil.
Yeah, so we're fine. I've just accepted to Shongo now.
Okay.
All right.
Okay. So
okay. Okay.
But But you need to call them. Okay, we can start. Good morning, honorable member. Good morning, Minister and DM. Good morning, all the officials that are here. And hopefully the CEO of NYDA is here. Without any waste of time, we have received those apologies.
Hello.
Zapo, Nolisa is who and who?
Just hold on. Hello, Chair.
Read those apologies.
Okay. I've received apologies. Good morning, Chairperson and ministers and the department. I've received apologies from Honourable Member Hlengwa. She's attending the Portfolio Committee on Health. And also from Member Nazli Sharif. She's also attending Iwad 120 by elections. And I've received a member from Member Sundi and Sonyane. And Ngobo, I didn't get any reasons. Yes, those are the members who have submitted their apologies. Thank you, Chair.
So, Ngobo, you didn't get a reason?
He sent me a WhatsApp.
Without a reason?
Let me read it. Yes, Chair.
Without a reason.
Yes, I also received apology to say they won't be attending. They won't be able to attend today.
So how do you deal with the apologies without reason?
Depends, Chair, if the committee wants to accept them or not. Absolutely.
How do we deal? Okay, honourable members, let me put it to the meeting. How do we deal with apologies without reason? Because my understanding is that when a person sends an apology, a person will write an apology also, which I'm not attending a meeting due to the following reason. But an apology without a reason, how do you accept it?
So my hand is up.
Okay, honorable.
Thank you. I think, Chairperson, in terms of the guise of conducting meetings, the meeting has a responsibility to accept or not accept an apology. So I would move that, Chairperson, we don't accept my apologies that are sent without valid reasons of why members are not attending the meeting. But having said that, Chairperson, I would think that today we know that there is a nationwide by-election and most of the members are probably there, but it's not a reason for members not to respect the meeting and tender their apology, even noting that there is a political commitment that they are attending to because they are deployed by their political parties to the by-election program. So I think we don't accept a meeting reason and apologies because members must respect the portfolio committee meeting and write to the necessary team in terms of tendering their apologies and stating reasons why they are not attending the meeting. Thank you.
Okay, Honorable Matsiko, so any view? Honorable Mkweba.
Thank you. Good morning, Chair, and good morning, honorable members. You know, I think I agree with honorable Masiko that, you know, apologies without valid reason, they must not be accepted by the committee. But however, also I will be in and out, Chair, for because I'm also somewhere now in the bushes, so busy with the organizational work. So I will be in and out, but I've decided that to put my earphone so that I must also be part of the meeting. But if I'm in and out, then you must understand, honorable members, that where I am, there's no network. But I will then agree with the honorable member, Comrade Masiko, who says that let's not, accept apologies without valid reasons. And of which, even in the meeting of yesterday, the same thing happened. And we are members of this committee, and all of us belong to different organizations. But it's important that we must respect the committee chair and all other honorable members. That's why I was trying to connect. Then my network was a problem, but at the end of the day, I'm here as part of this meeting. I will be in and out, but I will participate as I used to. But honorable members will submit apologies without a valid reason. They disrespect the chair and also the committee itself. Then we don't accept the apologies. Thank you very much, Chair.
Thank you very much. Honourable members, any counter? Yeah, thank you very much, honourable members. We'll accept only apologies that the members have forwarded. They have stated their reasons, and those that have no reasons, we are not accepting them. Even myself here in Ward 89, we do have a by-election. So I will attend to that by-election after the meeting. The by-election in Tembisa. So I will go to that by-election after the meeting. We can now move to the minister.
Thank you, Honorable Chair, Honorable Members. First, I should have said, Honorable DM and Honorable Whip and Honorable Members of the Portfolio Committee, we are here to meet with our committee, the Portfolio Committee for Women, Youth, Persons with Disabilities, to look at the youth, the National Youth Policy 2020 to 2030. Cabinet on the 21st of October 2020 looked at the National Youth Policy 2020 to 2030, but requested that it be strengthened in the sense that, one, it must be contextualized to the current economic environment. Two, that it must be underpinned with clear objectives. Three, it must quantify what the policy intends to achieve. And four, it must elaborate on what is to be achieved on the outcome of the policy and proposed challenges to the legislation. Further, we regard the economic transformation, entrepreneurship, and job creation that the policy must strengthen elements of opportunities for creative and innovative thinking, coordinate and integrate with the view to maximize opportunities, align the policy to the relevant plans and strategies such as the economic reconstruction and recovery plan, as well as the mass employment strategy to build a new economy. Honorable members, this is clear this is a clear indication that government urgently wants this policy to address the economic issues that will be to the benefit of the youth, unemployment among youth has reached a record high with the combined with the challenges that come with COVID-19 pandemic. All the youth deserve access to the decent employment. All measures to revive our economy must place the youth at the center. Every young person should have access to opportunities that increase their chances of finding meaningful employment. Suggested measures in the policy include quality education and in particular skills, economic participation, efforts to improve labor absorption in the economy, improved mental and physical health. Let me emphasize this, Chair, because even the Miss South Africa, when she was to be crowned, she emphasized that she really want to help our nation in focusing on mental health. This demeaning unemployment that our youth are suffering, youth, women, disabled people, it really is escalating the mental health challenge of our people. So would be the physical health as well as the functioning of efficient youth and development structures. Honorable Chairperson, this policy should further enhance the efficiency and effectiveness of the Youth Development Agency. The department is also in the process of amending the NYDA Act of 2008 as part of the financial year's legislative program. The NYDA amendment bill will be presented to the government, state capacity and institutional development to cabinet committee tomorrow. The department has to table the NYDA amendment bill to parliament before the 31st of March 2021. Honorable members, let me stop here to allow the Director General and officials to address the issue of the National Youth Policy 2020-2030 that was raised by the Portfolio Committee at the last meeting on the NYDA second quarterly report. I thank you, Chair.
Thank you very much, Minister. DM, do you want to say something before I hand over to, I think it's the Chief Director, né, that is going to present?
DG and two officials from the department. Thank you very much, Chair. I'm covered. Thank you.
All right. Okay, over to you, DG.
Thank you, thank you. Good morning, Minister, Deputy Minister, Chair, Whip, and honorable members of the committee. We have three presentations that we'll be making. I'll do the National Youth Policy, and then Mr. Emmanuel Kanaka will present on the Monitoring and Evaluation Framework. Dr. Bernice Hlahla will present on the National Youth Development the branch. Thank you.
Okay. Can continue, Titi?
Yes. Bernice? Are you going to share the screen?
Yes.
The presentation.
Yeah,
yes,
already.
Okay. Yes, the screen is being shared. Thanks.
Okay, skip one purpose and please go to the ground. Thank you. South Africa is a home for a youthful population. Young people aged between 18 and 34 constituted nearly a third of South Africa's population in 2019. And one in four persons will be between the ages of 15 and 29, between now and 2030. Hence, it is important for us to plan everything, aligning it to the 2030 goals. Investing in policy development ensures the protection of human rights and social justice for the youth who are denied access to essential services in order to build a more resilient society, especially where youth development takes center stage. It was in this context that the first and second national policies were developed and approved by Cabinet to respond to youth needs for the periods 2008 to 2014 and 2015 to 2020. The period for the National Youth Policy 2015 to 2020 is coming to an end in 2020. Hence, the National Youth Policy was reviewed to provide an opportunity for the country to assess the broader agenda in relation to youth and its success, the achievements of the 2015 to 2020 policy. Go to introduction. In developing the youth policy, the Department of Women, Youth and Persons with Disabilities partnered with the UNFPA. Unlike previous policies, the new youth policy will be for 10 years, linking it to the 2030 UN strategy, Agenda for Sustainable Development and National Development Plan. Cabinet approved the National Youth Plan 2020 to 2030 on 21st October 2020. The National Youth Policy 2030 is a cross-sectoral policy aimed at affecting change for the youth at local, provincial, and national levels. It redresses the wrongs and injustices of the past while simultaneously addressing persistent new and emerging challenges of the country's diverse youth. The policy proposes interventions that enable positive development for youth, for young people as individuals and as members of families, communities, and the South African society. It centrally places the youth as key players in their own development and in advancing development of their communities, the nation, the continent, and globally by outlining tangible actions, commitments, resourcing, and accountability by all stakeholders working together and in partnership with the youth. Past achievements. Some of the important achievements attained through the National Youth Policy include, but are not limited to, almost double enrollment in schools, which with an increase in the number of learners with past school qualifications from 1.7 million to 3.6 million. Increase in the number of youth-owned businesses from 595,000 in 2015 to 641,000 in 2016, as well as to youth startup and entrepreneurs. Increased investment in tertiary education, largely benefiting youth from poor households. The use of ICTs in educational institutions for the advancement of youth. Improved youth participation in public employment programs. Several interventions aimed at improving the health and well-being of youth, such as prevention of and treatment for substance abuse at 70 of 2008, National Drug Master Plan 2013 to 2017, National Adolescent and Youth Health Policy 2016 to 2020, BeWise Mobisite launched in 2017. approval of the National Youth Services Framework and establishment of institutions dedicated to render development services. Problem statement. Poor education outcomes. School dropout rates increased from grade 9 upwards, reaching almost 12% in both grade 10 and 11. Low skills mismatch, low transition from school and work, endemic structural unemployment, 59% for 15 to 24 in quarter 1, 2020, low entrepreneurship levels, low levels of education, poor transition to work, high transport and data costs, lack of ICT infrastructure, and poor connectivity. Lack of social cohesion and unity, manifesting in racism, inequality, homophobia, tribalism, and other forms of discrimination. Many youth migrate from their provinces in search of better socio-economic opportunities. High risks and vulnerability factors among the youth include risky and unhealthy lifestyles, youth crime, mental illness, especially depression, gender-based violence and femicide, poor sexual and reproductive health, disproportionate HIV prevalence rates among 18 to 24-year-old females, COVID-19 impact, unacceptably high suicide rates, 13.4% per 100,000 in 2019. Unrecognized youth work, resulting in high turnover and unskilled workers, inequality, inadequately resourced interventions, fragmented services, service delivery, limited impact. The vision and objectives of the policy. The vision: an integrated, holistic and sustainable youth development, conscious of historical imbalances, current realities and diversities in building capacities for young people so that they can in turn contribute to building a better life for all. The mission and goals. Goals to enhance the capabilities of young people so that they are responsible and contributing members of their communities and society. The mission: promote positive youth development outcomes in addressing the needs of young people. And how we're going to do this is by integrating youth development into the mainstream of government policies, programs, and the national budget, accelerating young people's access to quality social, political, and economic opportunities, improving coherence and reach of youth development services, facilitating young people's smooth transition into independence, inculcating and strengthening a culture of patriotism among young people, strengthening youth development institutions in delivering coordinated packages of services, collaborating with young people in building a better South Africa, Africa, and a better world. National Youth Policy 2020 to 2030 and the NDP 2030. The NYP aims to deal with the root causes of young people's vulnerabilities in South Africa. National Youth Policy 2020, it will focus on economic transformation and participation, education, skills development, and second chances. When we say second chances, we mean no young person should be left behind. Whether the nyaupe addict or dropout, we have to make sure that we take them along and give them second chances and skill them to be contributors to our economy. Healthcare and combating substance abuse, nation building and social cohesion, effective and responsive youth development machinery. By 2020, this is what we want to have achieved: quality education, skills development and second chances. All those people should have gotten the second chances. Economic transformation, entrepreneurship, and job creation. Young persons that are coming out from school must be prepared for the 4IR, but also they should be entrepreneurs and creating jobs rather than being job seekers. Physical and mental health promotion, including response to COVID-19, social cohesion and nation building. We should be having a united youth. Effective and responsive youth development machinery should be established. That would be in line with the NDP 2030 goals of economic transformation and job creation, education, skills development and health, social cohesion, safe communities, capable and ethical state. Policy proposals. The policy identifies policy priorities with key interventions aimed at improving the prospects of youth towards positive, holistic youth development. Quality education, skills, and second chances. Ensure universal access to quality education. Develop teachers and review curriculum. Implement interdisciplinary early intervention programs. Provide second chances to facilitate completion and re-engagement with educational institutions. Provide ongoing career guidance for technical, technology-based, and productive sectors. Increase opportunities for quality post-school skills training for all. Economic transition, economic transformation, entrepreneurship, and job creation. Implement the Presidential Youth Employment Initiative and economic reconstruction and recovery plan. Introduce basic universal income grant for unemployed youth. Implement set aside for youth across sectors. Implement improved public employment schemes. Involve youth in land reform, rural development, and agriculture value chain. Support township and rural economies. Develop and support youth-owned business and cooperatives, spurring entrepreneurship. Physical and mental health promotion. Support healthy lifestyles through physical and mental health promotion. Promote mental health among the youth. Combat substance abuse among youth. Combat gender-based violence and femicide, promote sexual and reproductive health and rights, mitigate against the impact of COVID-19 pandemic. Policy proposals continued. Social cohesion and nation building. Entrench social cohesion and nation building through multi-pronged approach, adequately resource and scale up the national youth services, expose youth to positive constitutional values that promote South African identity, support the youth in confronting systemic racism within society, foster leadership and active citizenry among the youth, expand and adequately resource compulsory school and community sports, utilize the four IR in fostering social cohesion and nation building. Effective and responsive youth development machinery. Strengthen youth machinery to ensure effective and responsiveness. Coordinate service delivery for high impact service provision. Facilitate recognition of youth development practice as a profession. Proposed processes followed in the review of the policy. The minister established a multi-sectoral technical reference team consisting of the following organizations: the Department of Women, Youth and Persons with Disabilities as the coordinator and secretariat, National Youth Development Agency, National Treasury, Basic Education, Higher Education, Science and Technology, Trade, Industry and Competition, DPSA and COPTA. Civil society partners, including the South African Youth Council, institutions of higher learning, UNISA, UNIVENT, UCT, and Saldru. Business bodies, BBC and BUSA. Consultations summary. The National Policy 2030 was broadly consulted with relevant stakeholders physically and virtually for 10 months. It was gazetted for public inputs and comments. The initial deadline for the comments was 16 March 2020. There was a 6 weeks extension for public inputs, comments to 28 April 2020 with advertisements placed in newspapers. Another extension was granted from 1st August to 30 September 2020 at the request of the Portfolio Committee. Face-to-face consultations were held in all provinces. Inputs were received from political formations, NGOs, government entities, and youth. Other stakeholders were reached through social media such as WhatsApp, Twitter, Facebook. Two webinars were held on 29 June and 18 September 2020. An invitation was extended to the Portfolio Committee for attendance of the latter webinar. There were opinion pieces of the National Policy 2030 in newspapers as well as interviews on numerous radio and TV stations, including a pre-recorded message broadcasted in all radio stations. Consultation continued. A draft National Policy 2030 was circulated electronically and presented twice to three clusters, namely the economic cluster, the social cluster and the governance cluster. A socio-economic impact assessment, SAIS, was also conducted by the SAIS unit in the presidency and a certificate of approval was issued. Summary of the inputs and comments received. Samples of comments. Provincial inputs from physical consultations. Western Cape 4IR should not be seen as a separate pillar, but must be mainstreamed across the policy. What was done? Way forward. 4IR is a cross-cutting pillar across the policy. So what was done? It means what have we done with it? We've incorporated it. KwaZulu-Natal, bring physical education in schools. What we have done, schools and communities.
DJ?
Yes?
DJ?
Yes.
Can you clarify us when you are reading this summary?
Yes.
We just see Western Cape, KwaZulu-Natal, but we don't understand it's coming from government or it's coming from municipality or it's coming from NGOs. So we need clarity so that we can understand the summary better.
The consultations included government and young persons. Formations, for example, even universities, they were consulted. So when we say KZN or we say Western Province, is the inputs that have been received there. Like we are summarizing from the inputs of all government and members, young persons who were consulted.
Yeah, the problem is the way you have summarized them. You know, when they do summary on and on inputs from public participation. I've even seen it with the Department of Justice, what they've done from public hearings. They have listed all the people that came to for public hearing. And if it was the Women's League, they've listed the Women's League, and then they have written what the Women's League said. And they wrote even the comments from the Department of Justice. And it's because I was reading that summary of the Department of Justice on the three bills that they have published, and they called for public hearings. You know, because that when it's written like that, it's easy that we can see as the Portfolio Committee. And tomorrow when somebody says no, but they have written, the way you have summarized it as a department, then it's problematic. Because when somebody, we don't know, from Western Cape, from who? You see? So when it's like this, it's shoddy.
because we cannot, it's like Western Cape, where Western Cape is big, and there are we are correctly saying from higher learning institutions, that one of Department of Justice, at least, but whether this there was a submission from VET or Stellenbosch University or whatever, or University of Pretoria, they have listed them, and you can read what was the submission from those institutions in their summary, and you can see on the site how they have the department have responded to the submissions that were made by those institutions, because it's important, because even us as the portfolio committee, we must be able to say no, but the department came and make a presentation. We have seen this. And then even NYDA, we must also see what were the summarized inputs that were made by NYDA. So it makes life easy for everyone, because tomorrow, when somebody says, you did not consult us, we must be able to say as a portfolio committee, no, public hearings were conducted, and there's a detailed summary on what is it that people have presented in those webinars, you know? Yeah.
Yes, no, I understand, Chair. Yeah, and I know what you're referring to. If the information here, because this was just for the purpose of the presentation now. Also, I think I'll check, but I think Dr. Sahani has submitted a report. The attachments, I think we've submitted several attachments which indicate, which give more substance on the consultations and other things that the committee had requested from us. So this was for the purpose of the presentation now.
So it's important, because remember other stakeholders were writing direct to us as the portfolio committee that they were not invited, they were not consulted. So that's why we kept requesting for EMA extension. And we were very happy that even a minister agreed with us, which, you know, we are extending EMA public hearing. You know, because, you know, we're dealing with youth. And if you haven't seen it, what has happened with us in the NYDA process, then you must know which some of the people, they will litigate whatever you're doing. So that's why we need to do a thing thorough, so that we avoid such such things. We don't want tomorrow the EFF will be coming and saying no, this was not done, you know. I'm just highlighting my concerns because I know members of the portfolio committee will be asking you questions.
Yes. In fact, if the report that has been attached is not enough, then we will send the one that specifically mentioned who said what and what did you do with that information. So this was just for the purpose of presentation here, because I didn't want to, it's already long, it's a 19 slide presentation, and I feel like it's too long, so I was afraid to make a very long presentation.
Okay, but you'll submit the detailed one.
Yes.
Okay.
Thank you. Written inputs were also received from when we gathered. So the Youth Capital, Youth Lab, Active, Dr. Shakira, Chonara, Equal Education, FEM Connect, the Psychological Society of South Africa, PSV, SSA Student Division, the Youth Vice of South Africa. These are some of the people that we received inputs from the gazetted consultation. After gazetting, we received this inputs. High quality education in schools, the need for implementation, monitoring and evaluation of policy, anti-racism, clear about corruption, youth parliaments, clearer exit strategy for young people in internships and public employment. And we have incorporated this, the comments were incorporated in the policy. Some programmatic interventions have been packaged for inclusion in the integrated youth development strategy and monitoring and evaluation framework. Also, these are the inputs that were received from the National Youth Development Agency, which included the recommended the for the inclusion of the youth presidential youth employment initiative and early childhood development in policy, because if you develop a children at an early stage, then you prepare them for the next level rather than not develop them at in the early childhood level and then expect them to perform better at a higher level. Also, they also refer to basic education, higher education and skills development, health and well-being, youth in the labor market, youth entrepreneurship, active citizenry, social cohesion and youth services, effective and efficient government, responsive to the needs of young people. And the consultation with the NYDA didn't end up with their response. Every consultation that took place, the NYDA was also involved. The National Treasury also, their inputs, the National Treasury's comment addressed various issues and concerns, including inadequacy or inaccurate analysis of some of the noted challenges, mandate overlaps, proposed new structures that address youth issues in government entities, absence of costing and time schedules for proposals, funding implications of proposals that make new demands on the fiscal and 4IR. The comments further also refer to ineffectiveness of M&E processes in DSEC and suggested interventions in the Department of Employment and Labor and DSD. What we have done, we've defined the 4IR. The definition is provided for on page 9 under section 4, and it is element and its elements included under relevant sections. Linking career guidance and support with the Presidential Youth Employment Initiative include and adding ESAA and and public employment services at the Department of Employment and Labor as resources for identifying unemployed youth. We also looked at the low completion rate among students for poor households who enroll at TVET colleges. The issue of youth focal points has been included because it emerged from the public consultation as one of the approaches used to collect information for the national policy, for the national youth policies. Unlike the gender focal points, youth and persons with disabilities, most departments do not have the focal points. So that's why it makes it difficult to monitor or to get the information. Also, the clusters, all these DGs clusters, were consulted and they've made inputs. Most of them, they wanted it to include the economic recovery plan and mass employment of young people, and that that we should amend the NYDA Act to ensure effective implementation of the policy. What we have done, we consulted further Small Business Department of Small Business Development, Agriculture, Land Reform and Rural Development, and other departments. We consulted them further because the strategy for implementation of the NYP is solely or mostly dependent also on government departments doing their part, because they are the ones who are implementing over and above what the NYDA is doing. All government departments have a responsibility to empower young persons. Cabinet has approved the final draft national policy for implementation by all sectors. The department is developing and monitoring an evaluation framework that Mr. Shahala will present on The NYDA will develop an integrated youth development strategy to give effect to the implementation of the national youth policy within 4 months of the policy's approval. The department will monitor development of an integrated youth development strategy by the NYDA, its finalization, and facilitate approval by cabinet. There will be continuous monitoring, evaluation, and reporting of the NYP 2030 to ensure accountability to stakeholders and young people as service beneficiaries. The NYP 2030 will be launched in 2021 and is being popularized among stakeholders and the youth. Sector policies and strategies to be aligned to the NYP. Thank you. This is the presentation on the National Youth Policy. I am not sure how the chair would want us to do. Can, with your permission, if Mr. Emmanuel Kanaka can present on the monitoring and evaluation framework, and Dr. Kahala present on the National Youth Development Unit, and then maybe they ask us questions on all of them. I'm not sure what's the approach.
Yeah, honorable members, can they make presentations on all the documents, and then after we ask them questions?
Yes, sir.
Okay.
So, Mr. Tanakh. I think he's muted. Emmanuel?
Yes, I'm here, DJ. And good morning to the Honorable Minister, Honorable Deputy Minister, Honorable Chairperson of the Portfolio Committee, and as well as all members of the Portfolio Committee, as well as officials from our department, led by the Director General. Thank you. The presentation is projecting now. It is not too long a presentation. We were requested to really show to the Portfolio Committee how the previous committee has been implemented, the previous policy has been implemented. And what the department has done was to have a monitoring and evaluation framework, because we know that it would be futile for a country to have a policy, but the policy itself is not implemented and it does not lead to change in the lives of young people. So we developed the MNE framework for the NYP 2020, and it was approved by Cabinet in 2018 in order to ensure that there is adequate coordination between government, civil society, and the private sector in the implementation of this policy. I think one of the key principles that we have is that the youth policy is not only a government policy, but it is society's commitment to youth development in general. So all of us across government, all of us across society, civil society and the private sector have to make commitments as to what is it that we're going to be implementing. So the presentation that I'm having now shows the indicators that are there that will be implemented or that are being implemented in line with the NYP 2015-2020 pillars. We can move to the next slide. Like I said, the MNE framework was approved in 2018. We also partnered with the UNFPA to develop the MNE framework. And what is important is that the system describes the approach to be followed in producing credible, accurate data on an ongoing basis. Credible data, because whatever claim that we make in terms of the impact of the policy has to be based on data that is credible. So to do that, we developed a theory of change that includes envisaged results of the NYP 2020, as well as a detailed MNE plan that has got objectives and quantitative and qualitative indicators, so that we don't only report on the number of young people who went through training programs, but also from a qualitative level, how is it that they benefit? And the MNE system has got frameworks and tools and guideline documents to enable the collection of data and to review youth development programs in order for us to continuously inform allocation of resources. So when a program is successful, it can be better resourced. So where it is not successful, we can then redirect resources where necessary. The last bullet there just says that the MNE framework was piloted in 2017 with the relevant partners, and there was a response rate of 87%. During that time, it was found that the majority of indicators have not yet been disaggregated by gender, by race, and by province. And we know that it's very important that whenever that you report on, for example, economic participation or skills development, it's important to know how many young women are participating, how many young men are participating, how many of those are people with disabilities, etc. So that was the finding of the pilot. The scope and of work and the progress, I won't spend too much time on this slide because it just shows how the MNE framework was developed at the time. There was a situational analysis, which included participatory planning and infection meetings. There was a design program, which included a verification workshop. There was documentation and validation, piloting and testing. Next slide. Now, the principles that we highlighted in the MNE framework include ensuring compliance, to ensure that all of us are responsible for implementation of the policy, and we are reporting on a quarterly basis on those indicators. Principle two is the selection of sound indicators. So whatever is measured by the policy has to be sound and high level enough to form the basis of reporting. There has to be standardization and uniformity on the type of data that we collect. The issue of baseline is important. In 2015, when the policy was approved, there were many new indicators which did not have a baseline. And so that is something that we have to continuously work on, especially now that we are moving to 2020, 2030, a new policy. There has to be proper baselines to ensure that by 2030 we can make most of the claims that we make around progress and impact based on a baseline that is credible and solid. The fifth principle was the issue of implementing agents and understanding that various stakeholders are involved in the implementation of the policy. So we have to collect data from them. I did mention government, private sector, and civil society. And the principle of evaluation to ensure that in future, like for example, in the new policy that the DG so capably presented now, we are talking about having a formative evaluation in 2024 and a summative evaluation in 2029. So for those evaluations to be done, it's important that indeed, for example, in the areas of youth set aside, we can then have the issue of baseline outlined from the beginning. Next slide, please. One principle, Jefferson, that we also focus on is the issue of reporting by state bodies, as well as disaggregation. I think I've touched on this one earlier. And then the issue of supporting of data sources. There has to be continuously robust studies, national studies, in the area of youth development. And we know that, for example, the HSRC does various studies. There's also South African National HIV Prevalence and Incidence Behavior Survey that is done. So those studies have to be continuously funded, even as we are in a crunch financially. We should not lose track of the need for credible data sources. Next slide, please. This slide quickly just touches on the overall vision of the policy. The capable, healthy, educated and socially conscious young people who understand their roles and responsibilities in making a contribution. So from a level one perspective, we understand that there has to be institutional capacity entities that are enhanced to deliver the outcomes of the policy. So institutions have to be strengthened. Secondly, there must be strong coordination, integration and functioning of youth development machinery. Without institutions in the youth sector being well coordinated and integrated, the policy pillars might not be achieved because the NYDA, your site, your department, and other sector departments that implement youth development may not be well coordinated and integrated. So we have to deal with the systematic issues. Now, in terms of the policy imperative number one, which was education, skills, and second chances, there were 11 indicators there. And like I said in the beginning, there are outcome indicators, which are more high level and longer term. So there were two outcome indicators, which included the percentage of distribution of the highest level of education attained by youth. And then here, we expected Statistics South Africa to be assisting us with data collection. There's also output indicators. I won't read them one by one, just to make sure that we save time. But we focus on total gross enrollment of young people in secondary education and the pass rate of young students, which of course all every year we've been celebrating for the past 3-4 years, a sustained increase. Next slide, please.
I'm saying the competitor is new. Let me first go and check that.
Under the second policy imperative of economic participation and transformation, there were 15 indicators. So there were significantly more than what we had in the first one. And there were three outcome indicators. First one was the unemployment rate for young people between 15 and 35, which is very important. And also, the rate of young people that are not in education, employment, and training. And all of those indicators are measured on a quarterly basis by Statistics South Africa through the quarterly labor force survey. And then there was the youth report, which measured the level of economic and wealth expectations of young people being met. Now, if you look at those two indicators, the first two, they're very important because we constantly see the level of unemployment rising for young people, and it's very concerning. And also with COVID-19, the level of young people that are not in education, employment, and training has also consistently increased. Of course, it's very worrying. The output indicators that are there, and the percentage of young people employed in the public service. We've had through various research initiatives said that the public service is becoming older if you look at its composition. There are not enough young people in the public service. And the percentage of public works program participants who are youth. So just to measure that, what is the number of young people participating in public employment programs generally? So you see that there are other indicators there, including number of young entrepreneurs which are supported, which we requested the NYDA to be supporting us with data there, including the Department of Small Business Development. So we've been constantly checking those indicators, and the findings from the reports that we get from the stakeholders, and I think this is very important, the findings of the report then inform the actions going forward. They inform the new NYP 2030 going forward in order for us to deal with the challenges that arise. Next slide, please. The third policy imperative was healthcare and combating substance abuse. It also has 15 indicators, which I won't read them one by one. Just to go through a couple, percentage of death among young people that is caused by TB. We know that there has been a scourge in the past. But I think there are some studies that are coming out to say there is more positive results in terms of young people and deaths caused by TB. And the issue of mental health separation for young people that are 18 years and under, which the Department of Health has been assisting us with data there. And then under output indicators, I'll just touch on a few. Percentage of learners who are binge drinking. We expected the Medical Research Council and the HSRC to assist us with data. We know that alcohol abuse generally is a problem for our young people. Many young people die as a result of abusing substances and being involved in car accidents. So this indicator here, just wanted to find out some of the data around binge drinking, around termination of pregnancy from the Department of Health, around young people that are giving birth in hospitals, those teenagers, in order for us to measure teenage pregnancies among young people. And also the percentage of young women who experience sexual and physical violence, so that we can really deal with the scourge of gender-based violence and femicide. So we've been measuring those indicators and getting data as far as possible. The fourth pillar is the pillar on social cohesion and nation building, which only had seven indicators, including the percentage of young people answering yes to participation in volunteer work. We know that social cohesion is about involving young people in activities that make them feel useful, make them help them make change in their communities. And volunteerism is one of the pillars or vehicles through which that can be done. The youth report was a tool that we have been intending to use. And the issue of voting becomes very important. I think various speakers today, including you, Chairperson, spoke about by-elections today. And it's very important that young people participate in ensuring that our democracy is protected and also upscaled. So the participation of young people in provincial elections, by-elections, municipal elections, national elections is very important, and the IEC is a major source for that. And then also engaging young people as part of the outcome, output indicators, number of dialogues that are held with young people, the national youth service projects that are being implemented, and the number of young people that participate. NYVA is providing data sources there. And then also lastly, the issue of attending provincial and national youth camps. And those were coordinated by the Department of Social Development, and they would provide data to the department. Next slide. The fifth pillar, as we move towards wrapping up, is optimizing youth development machinery, and there were 12 indicators along those lines. And it is the issue of young people feeling that they can be able to raise their issues where they are not satisfied with services that they receive, and we use the youth report for that. And then output indicators, I'll just go through a few. The issue of the Youth Employment Accord being reviewed, we know that the accord essentially was an agreement between civil society and government around what is it that will be provided to young people, including the youth set aside for procurement, set aside for employment, etc. The issue of annual joint youth development plan developed, and that was requested from the DPME. The establishment of a youth work association, from ourselves as a new department, DWIPD. So all of those indicators generally, we send out a request for data on a quarterly basis and then compile a report in order for us to be able to track the extent to which the policy imperatives are being implemented. This slide just shows the coordination mechanisms for youth development at the time from 2015 when the policy was approved. So you see that on your left is the level from local level, provincial level, national level. I'll start at the top. The president, of course, being in charge of the Presidential Youth Working Group, the Youth Development Unit, FOSAD, and I think now we do have a portfolio committee that we are presenting in now, that is very important in terms of oversight for youth development. We do have other structures, National Youth Development Coordinating Forum, which is a forum that coordinates private sector youth directorate across departments, as well as NGOs and civil society. And also the NYDA branches have a role to play at both provincial and local levels. And then youth units in offices of the premiers, provincial excos have a role to play, provincial youth development forums and local youth development forums, as well as municipal councils, more at the local level. All of us have a role to play in ensuring that youth development is and remains a priority across South Africa.
So as a way of concluding, just for us to say, the content of the approved MNE framework, the plan and the tools, we've submitted on the side the various annexures, including the MNE plan, MNE tools, for tracking of implementation of the MIP. Those should be noted. And then please also note that there is a new MNE framework that is being approved to track implementation of the NYP 2030. So those are the 2 points that we are positive. Thank you so much, Chairperson.
Thank you, Mr. Chanach. Dr. Tlhagana, without wasting time.
Thanks, thanks, DG. Thanks, DG. We have been requested to present on the National Youth Development Program and how it relates to the NYDA. Let me start by greeting Honorable Chairperson, Honorable Members, Minister and Deputy Minister, as well as the DG and colleagues. Good morning. First, we have highlighted the reporting channels, how the NYDA is currently relating to the department. We know that the president during the sixth administration pronounced that there would be a new ministry responsible for women, youth, and persons with disabilities. So in terms of the reporting channels, we have got the ministry. In the ministry, we've got the minister and the deputy minister. And then reporting directly to the minister, we have got the DG reporting directly to the minister and ensuring smooth running of the administration of the department. And then the NYDA board reports directly as well to the minister, as you can actually see the NYDA board on the line. I think there's someone who's obstructing. Okay, thanks. And then we also have the National Youth Development Program. You can see that the National Youth Development Program is on the side because it is providing support to the minister on administration, but then it is also providing technical support to the ministry, both the minister and the deputy minister, on youth development matters. And then directly reporting to the department via the DG is the NYDA CEO reports directly to the DG and then to the minister through the DG as well. And then we should have actually had a line which goes directly from the NYDA board to the CEO to show that there is a direct reporting line, you know, by the CEO to the NYDA board, and then whilst on the other hand, the NYDA board reports to the minister. And then underneath the DG CEO, we have got the NYDA executive management. And then we have outlined how the National Youth Development Branch is actually reporting to the ministry. And we have also outlined the various positions that are within the unit. We have 8 field posts within the establishment of the National Youth Development Program. And we have got the minister and the deputy minister on top, director general, and then the head of the National Youth Development Program is the chief director, supported by the admin officer. Then admin officer provides support to the chief director, but then also to the entire branch on administration. Then we have got 2 directors, one responsible for youth policy and legislation. Mr. Khana is the one who was presenting now. And then we also have Director Stakeholder Engagement and Support. This is a vacant post which has since been unfunded. And then we have two deputy directors, one for youth policy and legislation, another one for stakeholder engagement and support. And then we have got the assistant specialist responsible for youth policy and legislation and a senior youth development officer responsible for stakeholder engagement and support. So these are the two directorates within the unit. And the functions within the National Youth Development Program, first is administration, or which actually entails overall coordination of the branch, providing strategic management, corporate management, as well as financial management of the branch. And then I've already alluded to the fact that we have got the youth policy and legislation, as well as stakeholder engagement and support. The background or overview of the National Youth Development Program, this is a program which has been established in 2005. And at that time, it was established as a youth desk. And the youth desk was located in the presidency. It was actually located in the office of the minister in the presidency, reporting directly to the minister. Although most of the time you will find that, the minister would delegate the responsibility to the deputy minister in the presidency. It was then moved to the Department of Planning, Monitoring and Evaluation in 2014, and it was then that it was upgraded into a branch. The purpose of the branch is to provide technical support and political principals in overseeing youth development service provision in the country. We know that the principals are responsible for overseeing youth development in the country, not only for the National Youth Development Agency, and the role of the branch is to provide political principles in that regard. The branch also performs the function in line with the mandate of the department of leading on socio-economic transformation, empowerment and participation of women, youth and persons with disabilities through mainstreaming, advocacy, monitoring and evaluation. There are two sub-programs, Youth Policy Legislation, M&E, as well as Stakeholder Engagement and Support. The strategic objectives are aligned to that of the department, provision of socioeconomic empowerment. Our focus is primarily on youth, although we ensure mainstreaming of gender as well as disability issues within the youth sector. And then we do that by developing regulatory frameworks in the form of legislation strategies as well as national frameworks. We also do that in terms of ensuring proper resource management, business excellence, as well as stakeholder management, as well as support. Functions, key functions, we have actually unpacked them, and we have given examples on the nature of the achievements that we attained in that regard. When it comes to socio-economic regulatory frameworks for youth development, we have been instrumental in merging the National Youth, Umzobombu Youth Fund and the National Youth Commission into the National Youth Development Agency. So when the two were merged, our unit was actually instrumental in ensuring that the merger process take place. We have also developed the NYS framework, the National Youth Service Framework, and that is actually a framework which guides the entire government as well as civil society on how to render the National Youth Service Program. After we have developed that and it was approved by Cabinet, we have since handed this framework to the National Youth Development Agency, which is responsible for ensuring a coordination of this program. Currently, we are amending the National Youth Development Agency Amendment Bill. Minister has already alluded to the fact that this is going to be presented to Cabinet Committee tomorrow. So the other function is develop monitoring and compliance tools to help track implementation across sectors. Emmanuel has just mentioned the M&E framework, which has since been approved by Cabinet. We also developed supplementary documents for the National Youth Policy, such as guidelines as well as tools. We are now busy developing the youth responsive budgeting, planning, monitoring, and evaluation framework as one of the tools. We are also developing the youth focal guidelines as one of the guidelines which are supplementary to the National Youth Policy. Our role or function is also that of mainstreaming and supporting government departments in mainstreaming youth development within sectoral policies as well as programs. Sometimes you find that departments are actually responsible for mainstreaming programs within their sectoral policies, and then we provide support in that regard. We also ensure alignment of sector-specific strategic plans and annual performance plan to the national youth policy as well as national priorities. When departments are developing strategic plans, including quarterly plans, our role is to make sure that whatever they are developing is in line with the national youth policy as well as the NDP and the MTSF. We conduct oversight of the National Youth Development Agency. Our role is to support the National Youth Development Agency in this regard, make sure that whatever the plans as well as the reports of the NYDA, they are also aligned to the National Youth Policy and the national priorities. We also conduct the site visits of both the National Youth Development Agency, and we quality assure the reports of the National Youth Development Agency before they are presented to the political principals. Conduct research that is cross-cutting, such as the 15-year review report, 20-year review, 25-year review, and also the impact of COVID-19 on young people. This is also one of the joint projects that we are having with the National Youth Development Agency. Every five years, there's a review that is being conducted by government. Mm-hmm. And we ensure that there is a chapter that is dedicated for youth development in that regard. And then we make sure that the research is commissioned. We quality assure if we have commissioned a research, we are the ones who supervise the consultants and make sure that the final research is written. And it even goes to an extent of us writing the chapter on youth development. Support civil society and private sector on youth development initiatives. Sometimes you find that civil society and private sector organizations, they are having youth development and initiatives where they require support of government, and we facilitate and ensure that the support is actually provided. Support political principles on stakeholder engagement at national and international level. If the minister or the deputy minister are required to engage with stakeholders, we provide support. This would also include ensuring their participation even in national days, or even ensuring their participation in international engagements. We have got bilateral and multilateral engagements that are dedicated to empowering young people, and our role is to ensure that we provide technical support in that regard. Promote business excellence, including undertaking research that is cross-cutting on long-term trends. This I've already spoken to is the issue of the 25-year reviews and the 10, 15, as well as 20-year reviews. Coordinate relevant stakeholders and ensure reporting to Cabinet and Parliament. In this case, when it comes to youth development issues, the minister is the one who is reporting to to cabinet and parliament. But then prior to that, there are processes such as making presentations to the clusters, making presentations also to the technical working groups of the clusters, and then also ensuring presentation to the cabinet committee as well as cabinet. In technical structures, we are the ones who participate, prepare documents and participate in technical structures. And then in the clusters, the DG participate in the cluster. And then in cabinet committee, minister and deputy minister participate there. But then in cabinet, the minister is the one who is actually participating. Our role is to make sure that they are provided with the required and needed support. The oversight role of the executive on the NYDA is that the NYDA reports to the minister in the presidency responsible for women, youth and persons with disabilities. The National Youth Development Branch within the department fulfills the administrative function of conducting oversight to the NYDA in support of the minister as a shareholder. So our role is not to conduct oversight directly, but then is to support the executive in discharging on the expected mandate of overseeing the NYDA. We have quoted what the PFMA say in this regard, that the executive authority responsible for a public entity under the ownership control of the national or provincial executive must exercise that executive ownership control powers to ensure that public entity complies with the PFMA Act and the financial policies of that executive. So we are responsible for overseeing 9 financial performance of the NYDA, but then the financial performance of the NYDA is carried through by the finance unit within the department. The oversight role assists in ensuring that the NYDA meets the objectives of the PFMA Act. In this case, the PFMA Act provides for secure transparency, accountability, and sound management of the revenue expenditure, assets, liabilities of the institutions to which this Act applies. We have since drafted a shareholder performance agreement, which has been approved and signed by the executive authority, and it was signed by the minister as well as the NYDA chairperson, the former NYDA chairperson. And then this shareholder performance agreement is with effect from the 1st of April 2020. It will be for a period of 3 years, subject to the term of office of the board. We normally make it or align the shareholder performance agreement to the term of the board. The National Treasury Annual Report Guide for Schedule 3A and 3C public entities contemplates the setting of performance targets for the NYDA, and this shareholder performance agreement is designed to give effect to that approach and to establish a document clearly stating the parameters of the relationship between the shareholder and the NYDA. So the aim of the shareholder performance agreement is to provide for the relationship between the shareholder and the NYDA. We have outlined the purpose of the agreement. First is to clearly define the facilitative role of the executive authority and ensure that the relationship between the parties is conducted in an enabling manner that espouses due obligations and decisions delivered in cooperative fashion within the context of the PFMA and the NYDA Act. It also serves as a formal performance agreement between the executive authority and the accounting authority to give effect to the mandate bestowed on the NYDA. It reflects the expectations and the responsibilities of each party expressed in terms of outcomes and outputs that need to be achieved, as well as inputs and frameworks needed to ensure those outcomes. So in a nutshell, the shareholder performance agreement actually regulates the relationship between the shareholder and the public entity. It sets out the process of developing the assessment criteria to be used to facilitate assessment and monitoring of the board performance against predetermined objectives. We all know that the board has got a responsibility of providing strategic direction to the public entity, and then this also set the assessment criteria that is going to be used to facilitate the assessment and monitoring of the board's performance. It also guides the relationship between the parties at strategic and operational level, outlines how the parties will work together to ensure an appropriate balance between performance and conformance, and to avoid duplication of roles and responsibilities. Where applicable, implement good practice guidelines as recommended in the King Report on Corporate Governance for South Africa and the Protocol on Governance in the Public Sector. It also strengthens the governance, the corporate governance processes between the parties. According to Treasury regulations, it makes provision as required for the department in its annual report to report certain information about the public entity. In conducting the NYDA oversight, the department will oversee financial and non-financial performance, and in this regard attend the audit committees of the NYDA that is provided for within the shareholder performance agreement, facilitate transfer of quarterly tranche payment to the NYDA. So the NYDA supports the reports that are required, and then we process those to the executive authority for approval. And then from there, we submit to National Treasury so that the NYDA's tranche payment is actually released. Assess and quality assure reports and plans such as the APP, strategic plan, quarterly performance reports, and other operational documents of the NYDA. Conduct quarterly performance review or feedback sessions with the NYDA. Support the executive authority and the NYDA in reporting to Cabinet and Parliament. Conduct oversight visits to the National Youth Development Agency at national, provincial, district, or local levels. Support the NYDA and political principles on stakeholder engagement nationally and internationally. Here, there are some national engagements that are attended jointly with the NYDA and the such as National Youth Month activities, as well as the National Youth Day. And internationally, there are also some engagements such as the BRICS Youth Summit, the UN High Level Meetings on Youth, ECOSOC Youth Forum, Commonwealth Youth Forums. So these are some of the examples of the international engagements that we support the NYDA on. Support Portfolio Committee on Oversight role to the NYDA and its branches. The Portfolio Committee also is responsible for oversight of the NYDA. And then in this case, if we are invited to go to NYDA site with the Portfolio Committee, we do provide support. And then the partnerships with the National Youth Development Agency, there are other projects that we have worked jointly with the National Youth Development Agency. It includes review of the National Youth Policies 2009 to 2015, 2015 to 2020, as well as the recently approved National Youth Policy 2020-2030. So this is the partnership that we have with the NYDA. Development of the National Youth Service Framework, I've already mentioned that, as well as development of the Integrated Youth Development Strategy. We provide support to the National Youth Agency in developing the IYGS. Collaborate in legislation formulation such as the NYDA Act, NYDA Amendment Bill, the South African Youth Development Bill. So here, the NYDA is also part of the task team that are responsible for formulation of this legislation. collaborate in national
Dr. Penis. Collaborate in legislation formulation, e.g. NYDA Act, NYDA Amendment Bill, and then SAYD, what's that?
South African Youth Development Bill. This...
Can you explain?
This is the proposed overarching legislation for youth development in the country. It is still in the conceptualization stage. We were waiting for approval of the national youth policy, but we are conceptualizing the South African Youth Development Bill.
I want to understand so that we can be held as status members. Are you going to introduce or establish a new entity or what?
No. The National Youth Development Agency Act is the founding legislation for the National Youth Development Agency as an entity responsible for youth development in the country. The South African Youth Development Bill is proposed as a legislation that is overarching. It's a framework legislation for youth development in the country. So it does not only speak about the National Youth Development Agency, but then it regulates how youth development and empowerment have to be provided. The gap that we have identified, Honorable Chairperson and Honorable Members, is that we have got the National Youth Policy, but then enforcing implementation of the policy has always been a challenge. So in order to address that, the sector proposed that we must come up with a legislation for youth development in the country.
Is there any difficulty in changing NYDA to do the same things that you want to do there?
I envisage yes, there will be difficulty in changing the NYDA, because then the NYDA is just the founding legislation of the agency. It talks to how the agency is established. It also talks about the functions of the agency. For an example, currently, when we are amending the NYDA, some of the issues that we have actually identified are issues on how do we make sure that the principal monitors or actually get commitment from the private sector. So currently, it is contained in the original act of the NYDA. But then in terms of implementation, it was not found to be feasible to be or practical to be implemented, because the NYDA as an entity cannot hold private sector accountable for youth development. So such issues, we actually would like them to find expression in the overarching legislation. The other example is the issue of professionalizing the youth development sector. So that actually talks about ensuring that there is the youth development practice is recognized as a profession. Youth development practitioners are trained and they are qualified. Now it cannot be the competence of the NYDA to do that. It also affects entities such as institutions of higher learning, that where we need to regulate education and training. It also affects private sector institutions, such as the CITAS. So that cannot be the function that is performed by the NYDA. That is why we are saying that there should actually be an overarching legislation for youth development. These are some of the proposals that are actually contained in that specific bill.
Okay. We can continue.
Okay, to collaborate on national engagements, we've mentioned the issue of National Youth Month and the hosting of events, as well as stakeholder engagement, to conduct joint research, to coordinate and jointly attend to international stakeholder forum, UNESCO, such as UNESCO Forum, World Youth Conferences, such as Global Youth Conferences, and to be involved in joint bilateral coordination. In this regard, we actually helped facilitate the signing of a bilateral memorandum of agreement with Namibia, and this was signed by the then minister in the presidency as the minister responsible for youth development. But the NYDA actually benefited from this relationship because there was exchange between Namibia and South Africa on the National Youth Service Program, where young Namibians would come to South Africa for the National Youth Service Program, and then young South Africans will also in turn go to Namibia for the National Youth Service Program. We also facilitated that the NYDA should sign a memorandum of agreement with National Youth Agency in Mexico, and that has since been also signed by the then minister in the presidency. Joint multilateral coordination in terms of UN, AU, SADC, Commonwealth, as well as BRICS and Y20. Most of the times when there are ministerial meetings within these multilateral organizations, they are preceded by the youth forum. And then the NYDA actually participates in the youth forum and also become part of the ministerial delegation. Quality assurance, performance review, oversight, and reporting to cabinet. So if the NYDA would like to present, maybe the IYDS, we help in ensuring that we present to the clusters, as well as ensure that the principals, and I mean the DG and the principals, also present to the clusters as well as to cabinet respectively. In line with the proposal by the portfolio committee, the National Youth Development Branch in the department is pursuing the following as possible joint projects with the NYDA. In the previous meeting, there was strong articulation from the portfolio committee advising that there is a need for the department to actually have joint projects with the NYDA. The first one is that now that the National Youth Policy has been approved, we will jointly be developing the MNE framework with high-level indicators to track how young people are benefiting in the value chain of green economy, mineral resources and energy, tourism, manufacturing, digital economy, infrastructure spend, procurement, creative industry, blue and ocean economy. So here we are going to be developing or updating our MNE framework. We will be updating our high-level indicators as presented by Emmanuel. Previous focus was on output indicators. Our view is that we have to focus more on outcome indicators. And we have agreed, we will be agreeing with the NYDA on how to structure these indicators. Youth skills and employment initiative currently being presented to cabinet via the clusters. There is a program that has been conceptualized by the department with a private sector company, and then we will be requesting the NYDA to come on board. The program seeks to train young people on 4IR youth skills. National Youth Resilience Initiative, this is the initiative which the NYDA is already on board. We are collaborating with GIZ. Evaluation of Youth Employment Initiative, DPME will be conducting evaluation of Youth Employment Initiative, and then this is the project where we said that the NYDA should be involved as partner. Rapid evaluation of the NYDA. When we were presenting to the clusters the NYDA bill, the clusters said that we should actually conduct rapid evaluation of the NYDA. So we will be writing through the DG to DPME to request that they undertake such evaluation to inform in part the NYDA bill formulation. Capacity building program for youth focal points This is the program that we are conceptualizing to ensure that the youth focal points are skilled. So this program, we will actually be involving NYDA as well as the National School of Governance. Africa German Youth Initiative, this is the AU project. The NYDA has already been invited as a stakeholder as well as the department, and it's also one project which we can further collaborate on. Challenges and measures to address this. There are challenges that have been identified or that are being encountered. First is the issue of role confusion between the department and the NYDA was addressed through the shareholder performance agreement. Sometimes there is role confusion, and then the shareholder performance agreement actually outlines the responsibilities of party and minimize areas of conflict or areas of confusion. There will be further clarity provided once the NYDA amendment bill is also passed into law. In terms of the roles and the responsibility, we think that they will be further specified within the amended NYDA Act. There is gross understaffing affecting capacity to support the executive authority in overseeing the NYDA, including ensuring reporting. Inadequate financial resources in the department is a constraint to conceptualization of joint effective interventions, and the bulk of the budget is being paid as subscription to Commonwealth Youth Programme. Measures to address the identified challenges, joint planning and pooling of resources is actually one measure. Collaboration in stakeholder engagements is also another proposed measure. We are recommending that the portfolio committee should take note of the role of the National Youth Development Program within the department in relation to the National Youth Development Agency. Thanks, Chairperson.
Chair, we are done. Muted, Chair.
Chair is muted.
Yeah, I'm logging in with my iPad, so I'm trying to fix my iPad. Thank you very much, DM, DG, and for all the presentations. Okay, can you hear me? But there's a black shade, ne?
Yes, Chair.
Yes, Chair, there's a black shade.
I don't know why it does that most of the time.
What's the problem?
The black shade.
And then keep it in.
Okay. Yeah. Okay. Okay. Thank you very much for your presentation, Honorable. For your presentation, DG, DM, and all the other presenters. But I have few questions at the end. Why is that so much? Masiko, can you hear me? Hello?
We can hear you.
Oh, okay.
I can see you clearly.
Okay. DM, I think there are few issues that I want to raise with the department in relation to the draft policy. First of all, the document is not signed by the minister outside, so I'm not sure whether it's the rightful document, unless my staff members have given me the wrong document, because it says it's a draft, but there's no signature. So, you know, when a document doesn't contain the minister's signature or the DM's signature, we sometimes it's difficult to say this is a formal document, because anybody can write a document and submit it and say tomorrow, you can say even yourself as the department, no, you don't know that document. I think that's the first one. And then I was having interest on the shareholders agreement, the one that we have signed with the NYDA. And also that one was signed by the former acting DG, and there was no signature of the minister also. And for me, I don't know whether that documentation, as I was listening to Dr. Benitez, she was presenting as if it's a signed-off shareholders agreement with the former chairperson of NYPA. But for us, when there's no signature, we take it that that document is not a legit one. So I'm not sure now what's the status, because we don't have the board and we don't have a signed-off a documentation. I think those are critical concerns that we think the issue of the signature from your political principles is very important. And then the second one, the other one, it was it's on a shareholder. I'm reading, yeah. You know, I think at DM and DG, as the portfolio committee, we've been arguing with the department regarding the mandate of the department. You know, when Dr. Benitez was also making her presentation as the youth branch, I was reading all those bullets and talking about doing a oversight over the NYDA. You know, one is asking, we are asking ourselves on exactly who is doing oversight over the NYDA and the department. Our understanding is that the department must be the one who's coordinating all activities that are done
by implementing departments, because you see, you are not a service delivery department, but in terms of your mandate in doing monitoring and evaluation, we are asking ourselves every time that you are supposed to be coordinating all those activities and monitor if departments are implementing programs according to what is expected from them on issues of women, issues of youth, issues of persons living with disability. So that's why when we read your presentation, that also leaves us with concern every time. And I think that issue must be clarified and once and for all, because we don't want to find ourselves as because according to our understanding, NYCA is reporting to, is accountable to Parliament according to the Act. And so we are not sure. That's why even when we are reading your partnership, your MOU, there are questions that I was asking myself, and even honourable members, I'm sure they are asking themselves, especially when coming to the assessment, performance assessment of NYCA and so forth. You know, last night I even checked with the previous committee on what exactly was the status in terms of who assesses the performance of NYDA. And the report that they gave me, the Department of Monitoring and Evaluation, unfortunately, they did not finalize that issue. And also DPSA did not finalize that issue. And because last night I was checking with the researchers who exactly is responsible to assess NYCA performance, assessing the board of NYCA performance. And I'm sure when you were writing your shareholders agreement or whether you MOU, you were trying to address some of the issues, which I'm not sure whether you have concluded or what. There is somewhere where they talked about the chairperson of the board of NYDA to be the one who assesses other members of the board, and I disagree with that one, because for me, the chairperson of the board of NYDA and other members of the board, they are equal. It's like the only difference is that the chairperson of the board is given an extra responsibility of being the executive authority of the NYCA in terms of her status being her position to be the executive chairperson of the board of NYCA. So I'm sure. In that note, I think somehow that's what we need to thoroughly think about it, that who must assess board members of NYDA, because who will then assess the performance of the chair? For me, it doesn't gel. They are board members. So another board member, how does another board member assess another board member? In fact, the other board members can also have the right to assess the chair, the deputy chair. So when I was reading it last night, I was asking myself all those questions that, but this thing, I don't think it sounds right. So I think honourable members will agree with me on this one. Even the role that the department, the relationship
between the department and NYDA. It must be clearly explained to us. I understand in some of the things that you were presenting, Dr. Benitez, giving support, I agree with you 100% that the department is giving support to NYCA and even attending conferences with them, assisting when even they are signing MOUs, because you are a department of women, youth, and persons with disabilities. But I think what is lacking is the role that the branch, the role and responsibilities of the branch of within your department, of the branch, of youth branch in your department. I think there, I still struggle a little bit to understand on what exactly is the branch of youth doing in your department. I think the role of the branch is supposed to be coordinating youth issues in all and monitor all what is happening, every monitor all government departments and the provincial departments, even municipalities. They are supposed to be monitoring whether municipalities are implementing a policy on the issues of the young people or not. And there must be consequences. And you know, Dr. Benitez, when we talk of youth, they've got something that's called youth unit. Honorable Gweba can correct me if I'm wrong.
Youth
directorate. And other municipalities, they don't have it. So it is the responsibility of that branch, youth branch in the Department of Women, to ensure that that more, all municipalities, they do have it. Even again, we talk about gender focal points. Maybe I don't know whether I can call it youth focal points in provincial government and government departments, national departments. And I think it's something that is lacking. So that's where I saw a policy gap when I was busy trying to read the documents last night. But I think the other thing that what worried me too much last night was that youth policy, you know, was supposed to be clear in terms of giving directives on how are you going, how is that youth policy going to take issues of young people forward. Be it youth priorities, whether we are talking about an entrepreneurship, it must be clear, what is it that this policy is intending to do? I want to make an example. You know, when government took a decision on the on free healthcare policy, government was clear that pregnant women are not going to pay for services when attending their antenatal clinic. Remember before, when we were pregnant, we used to pay a fee to consult whether it's the clinic or whether it's at the hospital level in public facilities. We're paying a fee. But government took a decision of a free healthcare services for pregnant women. It was clear what needs to happen. So pregnant
day. That's why they're not paying for services. On young children, it was saying from 0 to 7 years, they are not paying for healthcare services. And on the aged, it was clear, Obuchi, aged people, they are not going to pay for, they must have access to healthcare services when they go and for checkup and for their chronic medication. So what I'm trying to say, honorable members and DM and DG and Dr. Benitez, is that youth policy must have clear directives on what is it that it intends, it wants to achieve. In achieving the goals and your what you wrote in your goals, your objectives and your mission statement. I don't see it coming out clear on what is it exactly is this youth policy intending to do. And I think it's a fair criticism which I'm subject to correction. And the other one, I think when I was reading your document, I'm not sure where, because now there's a child who's writing exam here. He has borrowed my laptop. That's why I'm using my iPad. I saw something that you are talking about, South African youth. There's an organization called South African what? South African youth something. I think it's that. Gashifa, if you can help me with the name.
It's the South African Youth Council, Che.
South African Youth Council. I want to understand and be convinced by yourself. What is it that you are trying to achieve in recognizing one organization? I don't understand. For me, that council, it's not like a council. I can make an example like a council or that a council that we are talking about when we are talking about gender-based violence. That we must establish a council, a DPV council. That one, it's something that has been there, operating like any other organization, whether it's an NGO or Youth League or SACO or what. But I don't understand what status, why did you find a status in your youth policy? My understanding, or DM, is that that's why I wanted to Dr. Benitez to explain to us what is that South African development something, a bill that is in the document. Because we must not find ourselves bending our fingers of recognizing one structure, organization. That, who says all youth of South Africa associate themselves with that structure? Why are we not strengthening or amending the NYDA not to be an agency but being something else? Because you have a authority and you have powers to change the NYDA Act to accommodate or to include other things that you want to include. But now for me it's like it's going to be a competition of that structure vis-a-vis the NYDA, and how are you going to, because that organization it's an organization that has been there for a long time and they've got their own challenges in their organization and I'm not sure what I was trying to do here. I think with that one I disagree with yourself. We need to be convinced. Then the Youth League of the ANC and the youth league of the DA or of the EFF will also say, not we want recognition. SASO may come tomorrow and say, not we want recognition. And so we must not create things that will create problems for us. Because I'm not sure if government wants that South African Youth Council and what I or you go to. You don't even know it's establishment. If it's a problem of funding for it, why not consider other youth organizations? There are many youth organizations. And that's why I'm sure, one member, when he kept asking you, who have you met? Who have you invited in your webinars and so forth? I'm sure it's because those organizations were saying they were not invited in those webinars and so forth. So the input must not be skewed. We need to understand and get clear with this, what did other organizations input in the youth policy? Because even in your report, it stated clearly which the population of young people in South Africa is too much, more than 17 million. It's a lot. So, you know, when we are dealing with aspirations of young people, issues of young people, we need to think and make sure that we the youth of South Africa participate fully, because this is their policy, and they must give us direction. They must give us input on why, how do they want their policy to be shaped tomorrow. And we must not get people who are going to revolt against us tomorrow. The presidential. I think when I was reading the document last night, I even went further to get to understand the presidential working group on youth. What role does it play? What is it that they are doing? And I read it last night, I was comfortable that it's chaired by the president. And it provides political oversight on the implementation of the national youth policy, and it is led by the president, and it serves as a strategic platform in joint planning and reporting on progress made on issues of young people. I didn't have a problem with that, but the question that I was having is, what is the relationship of the NYDA and that working group and the youth branch of the department with that working group also. I think we are interested in knowing exactly on how is your relationship and the inputs that were made by them towards the youth policy, which one. And, you know, Dr. Benis, you know, I'm interested in knowing that how many are you in your branch? In most of the issues that you were raising there, are you able to do them as a branch? When I look at the presentation of compliance, you know, I was asking myself many questions. How are you going to ensure compliance of the police to that monitoring and evaluation document that was presented? If government departments don't implement policy, what will be the consequences? Who's going to monitor and evaluate whether the government departments, municipalities, and provincial governments are implementing the policy in fully? Is it the youth plan? branch. If the youth branch of the department doesn't have capacity, if it's the NYDA, do they have capacity? If it's the presidential working group, NABO, are they going to be able to do the job? And then as the portfolio committee, who do we hold accountable? To account on the youth police? Do we hold accountable the department? Or do we hold accountable the NYDA? And then who is going to be to take responsibility in ensuring that the policy gets implemented? Is it the department, NYDA, the presidential working group? You know, I was reading the NYDA Act, chapter 2. It talks about NYDA Act 2008, chapter 2. It says the NYDA must establish youth policy, meaning they must drive also the policy. But I'm not sure the way you were doing it. It was done by the branch of the department, but the act is saying something else. I just want to get clarity on that one, DG and DM and Dr. Benis, because you see, I think there are things that need to be clarified so that we can understand exactly. And in fact, we are also interested in understanding exactly the amendments of the NYDA Act. That it should not be only the amendment of the numbers of the boards or so on, but you must look at the whole act as is. Which is, how do we give NYDA a tip to bite? Because if truly you are looking at that a bill that I was asking you to explain further, to be the one who can be able to hold private sector accountable, why not the NYDA? Why don't you strengthen, amend the act of NYDA and write something? You can even change the name, Yaga NYDA, not to be an agency, but to be something else. Mina, that's my thinking as policymakers, that we shouldn't be looking at things. This document, if it's like this, it must stay like this. I change it. All what it needs is it needs. There are higher institutions of learning that you can also ask for assistance. We've got many universities. You can also ask them to come and assist you. For me, the manner, there are other things that I saw, about education, health, and so on. I don't have a problem with those ones. What I'm saying is for lawmakers, when we discuss issues of policy, it's because already we have done research, you have identified the needs, and you know what is the statistics, and what are the issues that are affecting young people already. And that's why now you're answering by formulating a national youth policy in trying to address all those challenges that are facing young people. So that was my take. Let me get hands from honourable members. I see honourable Mpiti, honourable Mgweva, and honourable Masondo, honourable Masondo, honourable Masiko. if there's any other person that I've missed, pardon me, honorable members, you can, yeah. And maybe lastly, just also we are interested in knowing what was the input of NYDA. Thank you very much, honorable Mpisi.
Hey, also Miss Minhlonga. Thank you.
Your hand was not up.
It is up. Check.
Now it's up. Yeah. Okay, you will be last, honorable Hlongo. Honorable Masondo, is after honorable, it's before Masiko. Yeah. Okay, in that order, honorable members, thank you very much. Titi.
Chair, very good morning to all colleagues. Chair, am I clear?
I'm pulling as many volume up.
Chair, can you hear me? Right?
Yeah.
Can you hear me now, Chair?
Vulela futhi volume.
Okay. It's inside my earphone. So I'm using my chair or I'm using that.
It's all very faint.
Yeah. Okay.
Chair, I can hear you very clearly.
Oh, never got it.
Yeah.
Okay, sir. Okay,
okay. Thank you very much, Chair. I'll try to speak loud so that you can also hear me as well. Chair, I think you have done an excellent job of covering most of the issues that are being raised, or that at least that we feel that the committee need to be dealt with, particularly when it comes to the national youth policy. But I think, Chair, I just would like to add and supplement some of the questions you've asked. And the first one really is, I'm trying to understand in my mind how the department thinks this particular youth policy is going to be different from the previous youth policy. And the reason why I'm asking this is because it seems to me that there's no clear short to medium term plan about how this policy is actually going to impact communities. Now, so what are the measures that the department wants to take in terms of this policy, in making this policy a real, alive document for communities out there, right? And we mustn't just say that, you know, we've produced a policy, we have a document, and therefore our job is done. What are the budgetary commitments to ensure that this policy is not just a document for young people, but this policy becomes alive for young people in different departments is going to put in place to ensure that this is a success? Needs to become very clear to us in this committee what they are going to do and how they are going to achieve
log out and log in again. Keep on my earphone. We lost a number of 15. Magalogi in and out. Honorable Mkweba, in the meantime, when he comes back, give him the platform.
Thank you very much, Chair. One must welcome a clear, detailed presentation from the department. linked to the APP, NDP, and MTSF, and with clear in terms of department's vision and missions. But however, Chair, one is concerned about the consultation in our provinces, especially to input and comment to the National Youth Police. That always speaks to the interests and needs that affect them socially, economically, and especially in rural areas. You know, my worry is that, you know, if we've got a national youth policy that doesn't impact to our communities, especially young people unemployed in rural areas, and when and where some of these young people are affected by gender-based violence and femicide. You know, I think the department must explain further in terms of their consultation, because I saw, you know, that there are two provinces that have been indicated as provinces that have been consulted, especially your Western Cape and KZN. And what about other provinces? And secondly, Chair, on the monitoring and evaluation framework, one wishes to see practical process to monitor all departments, especially in all levels of government, nationally, provincial, and municipalities. And especially municipalities, because you spoke of a municipality with a youth directorate. And what is happening in all other municipalities, especially those that are in rural areas, in local municipalities? What will be the monitoring and evaluation by the department to make sure that all these municipalities, be it in rural areas where the bulk of problems are? And secondly, I understand that you have alluded that part of the responsibility of the department, it's not service delivery a department, but monitoring and a department that must do advocate in terms of youth development. And the department in their report has been clear that, you know, youth of South Africa, it's at 17.84 million across the country and in different races. Then our current statistics has told us that, you know, we've got 2.2 million unemployed people in South Africa. And that is at 30%, if not 30.1%. And many of those in the 2.2 million, it's youth. And obvious some are dropouts. And some are still in universities, and some are young people with disabilities. Then our expectation as this portfolio committee chair is to see tangible youth programs that address triple challenges, and the triple challenges in terms of unemployment, inequalities, and poverty across the country. And then, Chair, one will wish to ask the department, how do then the department be able to give hope and faith to ordinary unemployed youth across the country, and especially youth in urban areas and also in rural areas? And lastly, Chair, while we have listened to the detailed presentation, I'm not sure, Chair, because I never hear from the department in their presentation touching anything with persons with disabilities. And also in terms of the monitoring and the evaluation framework, the percentage on the PWP, the public works program, one must raise a concern that, you know, the PWP, in my view, it's not sustainable in terms of dealing with unemployment. And
don't have an exit strategy at the end of the day to take our youth somewhere in terms of skills development, then that's my input, Chair, for now. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much, Honorable Mkweba. In fact, you're correct with the issues. That's why I was talking about clear directives on what it is that it intends to do. Honorable Mpiti, are you back? Honorable Mpiti? Okay, let's go to Honorable Masondo.
Thank you, Chairperson. I would like to greet the DM and the DG and honorable members. I would like to welcome all the presentations in front of us. I have only three questions. Why strengthening collaboration between the NYDA and the branch is welcome? How is this intersectoral collaboration being strengthened within the department between women's programs and the rights on persons with disabilities programs? Number two, Cabinet approved the National Youth Policy 2030 on 21 October 2020. The version of the National Youth Policy 2030 submitted to the committee is titled draft. Is this the final version of the policy? And lastly, what are the timelines for each of the proposed joint initiatives? Thank you, Chair.
Thank you very much, Honorable Masondo. Honorable Mpiti, are you back? Honorable Mkweba, lower your hand. Honorable Masiko.
Thank you very much, Honorable Chairperson, and greetings to yourself, Honorable Members, the department led by the Minister and the DM. I think, Chair, as Honorable Peter had said, you have covered most of the issues on behalf of the portfolio committee, but one would really like to also expand on some of the issues that you have raised that I think, you know, are quite important, Chairperson. There's a councillor there in Umzinkule Herigwala region who is late. His name was Sindiso Magaga. He used to say that a lot, and he used to like this term, and he said it in isiXhosa, when he said, Usana, it means that the child is piggybacking the mother. And for me, Chairperson, that is ringing in my mind because I'm thinking that it's quite, for me, an unfortunate situation where we are discussing at length a policy or a document that has already gone to cabinet and is set to be adopted, having not been given a chance as Parliament or the portfolio committee to engage with the document and also infuse some of our views as this portfolio committee. The question that I have in mind, Chairperson, is that as much as we are having some concerns around issues or certain paragraphs in the policy, to what extent can these major concerns that we are having contribute to fundamental changes in what has already been captured in the policy? And it goes to the issue that you have raised on the documents that we have received is written as draft. Is it a draft? Or is it, as Honorable Masondo has raised, an adopted document as reflected in some of the paragraphs that was adopted on the 21st of October 2020? Also, the documents that we have received, Chairperson, you have noted that it's not signed. So where are we in terms of this policy that we're engaging on? That's the first issue that I have. Secondly, Chairperson, ultimately we know that South Africa has 11 different languages, and one would like to know whether are we having any intentions of also translating this policy so that it's able to reach the length and the breadth of South Africa and young people so that they are able to better interpret it in their their own language or mother tongue language. So we would like to know whether by having that a plan of ensuring that the policy is translated. We have young people in Umkhanyakude who relate better to Zulu than they do to English. So we need to ensure that the policy is able to speak to them. We know that they are engaging in different community organizations. They are activists in their communities. But in terms of interpretation of English, they better, you know, relate to isiZulu. So I think it would be important for us to realize that in ensuring that we are able to reach young people across the country. Chairperson, in terms of, I've addressed the issue of cabinet approval, but, you know, we'd like to know, yes, it's been approved, what part of it has been approved in terms of the deliberations of cabinet, what were the key issues? And you've addressed the issue of where do we ultimately see the accountability, who does it lie with? You know, you are having the presidential working committee that is playing the political oversight over it. But then who do we hold accountable for the final implementation of the policy at the end of the day? For me, that is really not coming out clear. And in terms of, Chairperson, we know that with government, policies are there, and we are always having issues with implementation. And we are saying that we are having good policies, you know, that are well-written. And if implemented, we would see fundamental differences in the lives of the people that we are advocating for in these policies. So it speaks to issues as well of saying, one, it's accountability, but two, that accountability is translated through performance agreements of the responsible implementers, which says that if the policy is finding its way to the three different spheres of government, accountability at a provincial level will lie with the premier. Who in the premier? Are we going to see something reflecting in their performance agreement on the implementation of the youth policy? If it goes down to a level of the local government, who in the local government is responsible for implementation? Will we see something reflecting in terms of the performance agreement of the responsible person? So I think we need to be able to then capture all of that. Three spheres of government, where does it lie and who exactly is responsible? And will we see it reflecting in their day-to-day work and their accountability in terms of their performance agreements? Those are some of the answers, because we need to follow, Chairperson, right down to the grassroots level, at what level, the implementation of this policy, and it needs to be able to reflect on accountability and the responsible implementers. In terms of M&E, Chairperson, I'm covered. But I think what is also important at the end of the day is that the issue of budgeting. What is the budget for the M&E for on the NYP policy? And who in the department will be responsible for this M&E? The issue of disabilities has been raised, that we are not seeing any indicators that are including people with disabilities, and that is of concern to us, and it should be of concern also to the department, because we know that one of our critical vulnerable groups is the persons with disabilities, and we can't move forward without ensuring that they are fully represented. In relation, Chairperson, to matters relating to funding of the policy, it's important for us not to separate the two. We need to ensure that we are able to clearly see the costing of this policy. And at the moment, Chairperson, it still remains unclear whether the national youth policy has been costed or not, and what is the forecast of the budget required to implement this policy. It's very important, and where is that money going to be coming from, so that we don't leave any grey areas when the policy is supposed to be implemented at a provincial level. Who is supposed to be funding those activities? The existence of the youth coordinators or youth focal persons at a district level, where is that money supposed to be coming from? For me, that is important so that we're able to give life to this policy and ensure that it's budgeted for correctly and there's no confusion in relation to the provinces and the district and where the funding for the policy will be coming from. So I think it's important for the department to clearly outline whether this policy has been costed and what are the budgetary requirements and where the money will be coming from. It's another thing to develop a policy, but ensuring that it's being implemented will require human and financial resources that we also need to speak about. Chairperson, I think as a committee, we must welcome the shareholder performance agreement, because it's something that as a portfolio committee we've been advocating for, because we need to see a clear working relation between the Department of Women, Youth and Persons with Disability together with the National Youth Development Agency. And for me, it's a resolution of this committee that has been implemented, the putting together of the shareholder performance agreement. In the agreement, Chairperson, it states that the NYDA is responsible for developing the integrated youth development strategy. However, we see that no timelines have been given. So one would like to know, by when will the integrated youth development strategy be updated? I think that's what one would like to hear from the shareholder performance agreement. Lastly, Chairperson, I want to pick up on the issue that you have raised of the South African Youth Council. We know that in terms of the document, I think it's page 31, if I'm not mistaken, it has noted that the South African Youth Council will represent the interest of youth, and of which we do not doubt that. And it says that a call has been made in the National Youth Policy for ISAIC to be formally recognized as an apex body for young people in South Africa. Now, we know over time the challenges that the South African Youth Council has faced in terms of their own internal organizational dynamics. Like any other organization, it faces quite a number of challenges, which can be internal, political in nature and all of that. So I want to know whether is it a road that we really want to travel down in relation to ensure capacitating the National Youth, the South African Youth Council, and giving them that responsibility of being a body that we would like to see as a vehicle for this national youth policy. It's a question, Chairperson, that one would like to ask, given the historic, challenges that SAIC has faced over time. And you know that sometimes it's a contested terrain, and we really would like to know whether we would be able to venture down that route. It's an organization that has its own dynamics that will have over time changing of leadership, struggles and all of that. So it's things that, Chairperson, we need to be wary of and be able to correctly account for speak to. Thank you very much, Honorable Chairperson.
Thank you very much, Honorable Masiko. Honorable Strongo, Honorable PTI Beck, Honorable Strongo.
Thank you very much, Chairperson. I think honorable members have covered me in most of the questions. One question I'd like to ask is that what proportion of the consultation included youth that are not affiliated in any organization? Because, Chairperson, reality is that young people are organizing themselves outside the structures mentioned here because they don't see the work of these structures. Can the department please consider these young people in rural and informal settlements and youth living with disabilities? Because in most cases, these policies are implemented in cities and metros, forgetting the farms and rural and informal settlements. Thank you very much.
me tell them. IT, IT, can you please help Honorable Mpisi? You've been putting Mpisi on waiting for almost 10 minutes. Neliswa? Kashifa?
Hello, Chair.
Mpisi kunina mile.
I have also asked, yeah, he said it to me. I've asked the IT to assist me in terms of admitting him because I don't see his name here. I'm not sure what's happening.
10 minutes young.
Yes, that's true, Chair.
Okay.
Nami talang milileo.
Uban. Malulek.
Yeah, I was just in and out. Then it just keep on saying the host will let me in for more than 15 minutes. But now I'm in, and I'm not sure where are you at the moment, but. It's okay. I won't ask any question at the moment because I was not there.
Okay. Sorry, Honorable Maluleke. It's IT problem, I think. So I'm just checking if they're letting Honorable Mpichi in. Okay. We can. Tongo, are you done? Honorable Tongo?
Yes, Chairperson.
May you please repeat your question?
Yes, Chair.
Repeat your question. I didn't hear your question.
Okay, Chairperson. My question was that what proportion of consultation included youth that are not affiliated in any organization? And can the department please consider those in rural and informal settlements, including those that stays in farms, because in most cases these policies are only implemented in cities and metros. Thank you very much.
Oh, okay. Thank you very much, Honorable Shongo. I think there's no shortcut in dealing with this youth policy. That's why we are emphasizing that as a portfolio committee that Dr. Benitez, this policy, it must ensure that youth of South Africa have participated. Because we don't want tomorrow people who will come and say, no, we were not consulted. It's rather we do a thorough job and rather than leaving people out, consulting few people at the corner, and one NGO, and then at the end of the day, we claim that we have consulted everyone. While the IT is still assisting Honorable Mpichi, let's get the response. I don't even know which I'm going to give one another council and my resolution to which I probably want to.
Thank you, Chair. I will request Dr. Benitez to respond to some questions and Emmanuel, and then the questions that are outstanding.
Sorry. In fact, you know, I want to inform honorable members that we got a letter from the speaker. That's why we are very serious about the issue of youth police. We got a letter from the Speaker's office, a letter which almost all role-playing portfolio committees are asked by COSATU on what is it that you have done on issues of gender-based violence and femicide, and we're expected as the portfolio committee to respond to that. That's why even with this one, we are not going to are you in? Yes? Pity? Yes. You're still waiting. Kashifa, can you ask you?
Finally.
Oh, finally. Okay, thank you. Okay, over to you, Kulum.
Ngiyabonga, Chair. Hey.
Okay.
Chair, am I audible?
Yes.
Thank you. Thank you very much. Apologies to everybody about that. I was disconnected. But yeah, so Chair, I think the first question, I hope it was clear. I don't know how much of the first question was heard, but just to rephrase, the first question was essentially to ask about the what are the short-term and long-term measures that the department is going to put in place to ensure that this document and policy becomes a live document to young people across the country in different areas, whether it be rural or suburbs or different areas in the country. How is this document going to be meaningful? And together with that question, we need to know the budget commitments that are going to be made, and where are these budget commitments going to be made? Because there are a number of issues that have been raised through the presentation, issues like GBV, issues like mental health, and many others. So what is essentially going to be prioritized? What is essentially going to get a budget, and how is it going to be initiated going forward? I don't know if this question was asked, Chair, but again, to say that, you know, when you started the meeting, Chair, and we were looking at the table in which I think it was the DG who was presenting the inputs that were made, and I think it's very important for us to get the raw data, whether it be in a table format, where we can see who made what contribution, and again, how that contribution ended up presenting itself within the final policy. Because then it will make it easier for us to be able to defend the NYP to young people across the country if we actually know how this document came to be, who are the people who are part of these processes, which organizations were they. And if we're not also not just looking at organizations, but were they individual young people who are trying to raise their voices, that also matters. Because not only organizations represent young people, but young people can represent themselves. So it's important for us to know what were the comments that were made, what were the inputs that were made, what were the suggestions that were made, so that we can also be able to defend this. And then just the next thing is on the M&E, and I think the Chair spoke already a lot on that. But, you know, my only concern with the M&E is, how exactly are we going to ensure that this particular policy doesn't fall by the wayside like the last policy? And my biggest concern is that if indeed we are setting up an M&E, you know, framework or structure that's going to ensure that this policy becomes a meaningful document to young people, then we need to ensure that that particular person or group of people who are going to be responsible for the monitoring and evaluation of how this policy is being implemented or how it's becoming real to young people, that they have the necessary support. And therefore, things like budget and providing a substantial, sustainable budget to this particular group becomes important. Because then we're going to sit with a document for the next 10 years and nothing is going to actually be done with that document up until we have to review it again in 2030. And by that time, I'll be too old and, you know, there'll be a new group of young people. And we shouldn't leave them with that, with just a piece of paper that doesn't mean anything. So I'd really like to know exactly how are we going to strengthen the M&E. And in strengthening the M&E, what is the difference between the policy of last time and the structure it has to support it, and what is the difference now with the structure that this policy has to support it? I think it's very important for us to be able to have a clear understanding of that process. so that we can also be able to give assistance on that. I'd also like to ask the department, particularly the youth diary, does the department have a youth database? Does the department have a youth database of all NGOs, youth organizations, in civil society, etc.? Because that will help the department a whole lot when it comes to sending out information that pertains to young people. Because we also do understand that the department is limited to reach all young people in the country. Obviously, to have that expectation, it's a very tough one. Because the department has limited capacity, and you know this. There's a lot of people to reach, but the department are too young people across the country. Have youth labs, Good and Wild, My Book Counts, so all these different youth NGOs that are there. But you must also remember these NGOs also just operate in particular regions and particular areas. And so they don't have the reach that we would want them to have. And so I think it's very important for us to be able to look at that. Just the last thing, and this is directed to the DG and the minister. In noticing the fact that there are no indicators within this policy regarding persons with disabilities, why is that the case? And secondly, to that question, Minister, I'd really like to know from you, because now it has appeared in the media that there's been nepotism and corruption in your department in regards to appointments, particularly the appointment of the director of persons with disability subdirectorate in the department, who is allegedly to have been appointed because they have a relationship with one of the officials. So I think the minister needs to answer that question for us so that we know that this department is not taking persons with disabilities for granted. As it's clear with this policy, with no indicators for persons with disabilities, but also above and beyond that, the newly appointed official who's supposed to deal with persons with disabilities, one, does not have a disability, and secondly, it's related to the officials, allegedly related to an official of the department. So we need to know, Minister, from you, what action have you taken since the City Press article came out last week to address this particular concern? Is the department acting to ensure that NGOs and organizations, particularly in the disability sector, have full trust in this department, that their issues are going to be heard and that their issues are going to be well represented by people who understand those issues? Thank you very much, Chair.
Thank you very much, Honorable Mpiti. In fact, the last issue that you have raised, we need the department to, when they are coming on Friday, they must give us a full detail about it, about that article that we saw over the weekend. Because the minister is no longer here, so we need them to an account on that one on Friday when they are coming to our meeting. And you are correct. That person that has been appointed, the wife, to the chief director. I think that chief director is human resource, and the only thing they are using different names. So that's when the department must account for it, must give us the report on what exactly is happening. And also what was said is that the head of that unit of disability, whether it's the head or the person who's heading in disability, was not even part of the interviews. So the department, I think, must give us a full report on Friday, so that we know exactly what's going on. But thank you very much, Honorable Mpiti, that you're back. Over to you, DG, you were saying who must respond?
Thank you, Chair. Dr. Sakala will respond to some, and Mr. Kana, then I'll respond to the ones that are outstanding.
Okay.
Dr. Sakala.
Thanks, DG. Emmanuel, can you please start responding, and then I'll respond after you.
Thank you very much, DG and Dr. B. Chairperson and all members of the committee. I think the questions have been clear, and some of them have come through with a clear guideline as to what direction we should be taking. So I'll try to respond to a couple of the questions that have just been made. And I think I'll start with what Honorable Peter has just ended on the issue of the disability indicators in the youth policy. And I think, like the DG said, in the presentation, we did not list everything that is contained in the draft in the approved policy. And for that reason, it might have been missed. And I think maybe DG, through you, the commitment that we can make is that we can pick up the indicators that are in the National Youth Policy that speak specifically to disability and submit them to honorable members of the committee. Because there's no way we could exclude disability from the policy. Part of the team members that we have as part of the development team were representing disability. We also received substantive inputs, both written during the written submission window and also during the provincial consultations which we had in all 9 provinces, directly from persons with disabilities into the draft. For example, we do have indicators that speak to support to learners with disability. We've got indicators that speak to support of entrepreneurs with disabilities. We've got indicators that speak to set aside and youth employment for young people with disabilities. It is our aim and intention to ensure access to this policy for everyone, including young persons with disabilities. That's why we are planning to also have this policy translated into Braille. And I think it will be the first policy ever to have such an intervention, so that young people with disabilities can also understand the policy, read it, also be able to hold the department to account in all of the indicators that we've made for young persons with disabilities. So I think just to summarize on this point is that we can highlight the indicators that we have for young persons with disabilities and then submit them to the portfolio committee. I think the second point which Honorable Pete made, which is very important, is that the NYP must not just be a piece of paper which gathers dust somewhere and is not a live document and an implementable document. So that point is crucial. And to that end, I think we appreciate certain things that were not there. One of the questions was, what is different between this policy and the previous policy? The first one, I think we are at an advantage now because we do have a ministry responsible for youth development. And I think it is the first time that we've had a dedicated ministry that leads and monitors youth development across the country. So that's one plus that we celebrate. Number two, we do have the political will. And I think from the highest...
If you celebrate, are you doing it? Are you doing the monitoring? Before you celebrate, are you monitoring?
Yes. Yes, indeed, Chairperson. The on a quarterly basis, departments submit implementation reports on the NYP to the department. So those reports, and I think we are also intervening in various ways, Chairperson, to improve the system, because not all departments have been reporting, and we have to be honest there. So we are making additional interventions to make it easier for departments to report. We are working on developing an online reporting system so that people can be able to just feed in the data, because we are in the age of the fourth industrial revolution. So we should make it easier for people to use their laptops and cell phones to make inputs into the implementation of the youth policy. So that quarterly report is received and written on a quarterly basis on implementation of the NYP, and it will continue even on the new youth policy that has just been received, approved. So on the issue of the raw data on contributions that were made and how they were incorporated, that information is there, and I think through UDG we can make a separate submission to the portfolio committee on the raw data of comments that we've received. We received a lot of comments and inputs, and it was a plus for us because, like we said, the DG said we consulted for over 10 months in total, and over the time we made inputs for written sort of windows for written inputs twice.
But there was COVID.
Indeed, and we've got a list of about over 76 organizations that have written to us, and individuals that have written to us in their own personal capacities to make inputs and submissions into the national youth policy. So that shows that there was a lot of interest from young people to make inputs. Government departments themselves also made inputs, targeted organizations. So it was robust. I think one of the points that we should raise is that in the last window where the portfolio committee requested us to open, we did open for comments, and we could see that the rate of response was even lower. It was starting to lower because young people, I would say, they were looking forward now to the policy being approved, and they were saying to us, your youth lab and your all of those organizations, youth capital, they were saying to us, we want the policy to be approved, and we want the department to really focus on implementation of the policy. The department should really ensure that there is an annual program of action on the indicators in the policy. There is constant evaluation of implementation of the policy. And that is why one of the biggest targets that we set for ourselves is that the M&E framework for this new policy must be approved within 4 months of the policy being approved. That is a marked departure from the previous M&E framework, which was approved 2 years after the NYP was approved. So we set those targets for ourselves because we really want to make sure that the policy is not a white elephant that sits. We don't celebrate the existence of the policy, but we celebrate more the implementation and the change of lives of young people. Even the integrated youth development strategy that the NYDA must develop, we set a target of 4 months for that to be developed. We don't want to waste time. We must really ensure that the implementation mechanisms are in place. And I think it has to touch on the short-term and long-term measures to make sure that it is meaningful. On the issue of budget commitments, I think it was raised by both Honorable PT and Honorable Masigo. There's two ways in which we approached it, Chairperson. One was to ensure that the commitments that are in the NYP are not a wish list from ourselves, but really they are based on what is contained in the departmental programs of action. For example, where the Department of Small Business Development has got certain activities committed in the medium-term strategic framework, some of those will find expression in the policy. The Presidential Youth Employment Intervention, we know it is a standing program. We know it is costed and budgeted to a large extent. That's why we are advocating for some of those things in the National Youth Policy, because we know they are low-hanging fruits that can really be implemented and change the lives of young people. So we've taken those commitments, even from the economic recovery plan that was announced by the president. Those things are now reflecting in the national policy. And then they will be implemented because we know there is that will and commitment, and there's also a budget for them. And then secondly, there are things that the policy advocates for that are not necessarily... for example, the basic income for young unemployed people based on the COVID grant, for example. That is something that came from the youth sector. They wanted to see it happen. And we were happy to see that it was introduced, even though it was for a short-term period. And we are aware that it will take a lot of moving around of resources, etc., for it to be something that is introduced as a semi-permanent feature in our youth development space. However, part of what the policy does is to say things that are not popular at the time, but which are important for implementation and for changing the lives of people. A year ago, if you said basic income grant, people would think you are not in the right state of mind. But now it is being implemented in some or the other. And we must look at how do we make sure that it's a permanent feature to some extent to support mainly unemployed young people. So those discussions will need to continue taking place with National Treasury, and we do have a plan to engage Treasury and the Department of Social Development on a measure such as this. I think Honorable Mtongo spoke about the proportion of young people who are outside organizations. I think briefly, just to say that is correct, we did not intend to only focus on young people that are organized. So even though we had a special webinar which focused on youth that are from political formations, where the portfolio committee was invited, but we also had the youth formations and student formations from ANC, EFF invited, DA, all of them were invited to that session. We also had voices from young people that are, you know, normal, just people who stay in a village somewhere in Limpopo, in a village from Mpumalanga or Eastern Cape. Those people were, we were really assisted by the offices of the premier, chairperson, to move them, gather them in one location, have a thorough discussion on the national youth policy, and we were able to really get their input. So we did not exclude young people from rural settlements or farms or even informal settlements when we were engaging on the policy. I'll try to be quickly, chairperson, I don't know it's too much time. I think one of the things Honorable Masiko mentioned was that since the policy is approved, is there any sense that whatever we're discussing today will be integrated? And I would say with conviction, yes. We are working on, if you remember what the minister said in their opening remarks, the cabinet committee and cabinet gave us interventions and inputs to include in the draft. So those drafts, those inputs are being integrated into the draft now, and we're doing that as part of the editing, design, and layout of the policy. So in a week or so, we should have a final policy, which includes comments received today, and those received from cabinet, and it will be designed nicely, and it will be something that we can all enjoy at reading. That policy, I think that will address the issue of signing. The final version that will be submitted will be signed by the minister, signed by the GM, and signed by the DG. It will be nicely laid out and designed, and then it will not even have the word draft on it. So the reason why you still have something that says draft is because we are finalizing some of the technical inputs as well as the design and layout of the policy. In response to the question as to whether it will be translated, that is correct. We got confirmation from the Department of Sports, Arts and Culture to say they stand ready to assist us to translate the policy. So it's a first for youth policy in South Africa for it to be translated into the various languages. And like I said, it will also be translated into Braille. And we'll also have a short popular So those that do not read a 30-page document can look at a much more smaller popular version and understand what their policy is all about. Accountability, of course, is very important. And like I said, we align that with the issue of a political will that is there. Even from the portfolio committee, you can see that members are passionate about youth development. And the reason why the input are so robust is because we all want South African youth to progress at a pace that is unprecedented, and to achieve the theme of the policy, which is a decade of accelerated positive youth development outcome. We've noted the issue of performance agreements, and I think it's a wonderful proposition which we can act on going forward. Honorable Mgweba, I think the issue of consultation in provinces, I just want to clarify that when the DG presented, it was only we only took out one or two provinces, but we went to all the main provinces to represent. We did not exclude any province. We've got a time schedule of when we went to the provinces and how many young people were there in the provinces. We also have a document which is about 70 pages long of the input that we received from the provinces. So those would not exclude any province at all. I think the Honourable Governor can be rest assured there to say not any province was left aside. And on the issue of the practical processes for monitoring, especially in municipalities, I think it's a very important point that has been made. We prioritize the district development model in its policy as part of the implementation mechanisms. And part of that is the issue of the local youth development forums, which bring together all relevant role players in the youth development space under one umbrella of a forum to ensure that youth development is not done haphazardly by people sitting in different offices who end up duplicating services and programs. So we're also having discussions, the DG has chaired a couple of meetings with COCTA in order for this particular module to be further customized in order to assist to with issues of gender, youth, and disability. So, I think Honorable Mugawa also spoke about the issue of persons with disabilities. I think I've responded to that. The issue of public works programs not having an exit strategy is key, absolutely. And I think Honorable Mugawa is correct. The youth policy itself also makes the same point, especially under economic transformation and job creation and entrepreneurship, to say there must be meaningful public works programs. Or public employment programs that also have guaranteed exit opportunities for young people. So it's the same point that we are making, and we will continue to monitor this as part of the new MNE framework that will be developed. I know that point that I noted, and then I'll hand over to you, Dr. Lahan.
I want to hear, you are talking about technical input, ne? And so what technical inputs and we don't know of them as the portfolio committee, so how are we going to know of them? What do they entail?
Well, I think maybe what I was trying to say is that we've received inputs, written inputs from over 75 stakeholders, including organizations and individuals who've written in to the policy that was published. And there were also inputs that were received when we were out in the provinces meeting with young people face to face to get their comments, because we knew that not everybody can write in and not everybody can participate in the webinar, but we go out and reach out to young people to get their voices live and direct. So those are the inputs that we've received. We've written them all down. And also as to how we've actually tried to integrate them into the policy. That document is there, Chairperson. It can be shared with the portfolio committee in full so that we can also account to the portfolio committee around what we've done with the comments from young people and the public into the youth policy.
So your branch in the department is responsible for the implementation of the National Youth Policy?
Chairperson, the branch does monitoring and evaluation of the youth policy. And then if you look at the nature, like we said in the beginning, when we presented the MNE framework, the policy is not only a government policy. There are things that must be done by the private sector.
Yeah.
Done by government, and there are things that will be done by civil society. So what our role in the department is to ensure that we assist in setting up the right environment for those things to be done, but we also help with accountability by establishing monitoring systems and by establishing reporting systems so that those people can implement and also report and account to the public of South Africa. So we want, the department does not implement each and every indicator that is there in the MNE framework, but it has to monitor each and every indicator that is there in the monitoring and evaluation framework. So in line with the mandate of the department, we will monitor and evaluate implementation of the youth policy. Where there are problems and inefficiencies, we will highlight those and we will intervene as far as we can. We will escalate things that will need to be escalated to the Presidential Youth Working Group or whichever forum that is there to aid the implementation of the policy.
Okay, I think the DG will assist because I thought when you were responding, you were saying the reason the minister and the deputy minister didn't sign is because they were still going to implement technical inputs. So I that's what you said in your response. That's why I'm asking. But I'm sure the DG can assist because what you are saying is that if there's no signature, how do we regard that document as a legitimate document?
Yes, Chair, I can respond to that. When the policy was in cabinet members, ministers made inputs. So those inputs must be incorporated. So that's what you are saying, that those inputs must be incorporated. So hence you are saying even the inputs that are made by the portfolio committee can still find their way in there because we're incorporating the inputs, because the cabinet committee made inputs and cabinet itself. We incorporated those from the cabinet committee when it was going to cabinet. Then cabinet ministers also, many of them had an interest and they were making a very helpful and important inputs. I would also show give an example of ministers in the economic sector, because they were saying incorporate the economic recovery and reconstruction, and that is their responsibility to show that all government departments are aware that the implementation of the national youth policy is their responsibility.
I'm asking these things because we have a history here in your department before you came in of signature, where a document will be presented and the political principals have not seen the document, and it becomes a challenge for us. That's why we are raising this thing, that the issue of your minister and your deputy minister looking at your document and giving approval and putting their signature for us important.
Yes. I think that was the challenge, where once it's final, the final must have their signatures. So hence, because it's still incorporated and whatever, we couldn't just say it's final. If we said it's final, we could have said, but when the minister, in fact, even now you were asking where's the minister's signature. So once all the inputs have been made, then it will go through the process and the minister and the deputy minister will definitely put their signature. Both of them were in both cabinet committee and cabinet when the document was discussed.
Yeah. If we receive any other complaint, we'll forward them to yourselves, eh? We always do that. Because now, as I was sharing with you, that we are being asked by COSATU on what is it that we have done as members of parliament regarding the issue of gender-based violence and femicide. So at least we are able to account that we, even with this policy, will tell them what is it that we have done as the portfolio committee. So the inputs that are made by portfolio committees, they must be incorporated and be taken serious, because at the end of the day, all of us, we must account on what is it that we have done. So there's no shortcut. But thank you very much, DG. Anybody else who's going to respond?
Dr. Shahar, quickly, just
Dr. Bennett.
Yes.
I'm feeling. I don't feel you.
Honorable Chairperson, thank you very much. We are trying our best.
in the context of the limited human resource capacity that we are experiencing. Let me say that we welcome the comments and input made by the honorable members. And on the issue of the signing of the documents, indeed our intention is to make sure that the minister, the DM and the DG will sign the document. We have actually made provision for their signature. The reason, the other reason why the document is not signed, first is what already alluded by the DG, is the issue of the technical comments that still need to be incorporated. The second issue is because we are currently busy with the design and the layout of the policy. So we are finalizing that, and then once everything is done, we will process again to the minister, to the political principals via the DG for signature. So indeed, honorable members will be favored with the signed documents. And then the other comments that were made is regarding, Emmanuel, I think, responded in much detail about the consultations. I'm not going to actually go back to that. But let me just, you know, highlight that when we were meeting provinces, we did not meet two provinces only. We met all nine provinces. We had physical sessions in all nine provinces. We were lucky because the pandemic outbreak actually happened immediately after we finalized our last province. So we went to all nine provinces, and we requested offices of the premiers liaising with the structures on the ground to mobilize young people to come for the consultation session. So it was not only government, but then it was civil society, private sector combined. It was just a mixed bag of, you know, participants during the consultations. And the other comment which was made at length is regarding the South African Youth Development Bill, or South African proposed South African Youth Development Act. And honorable chairperson, let me just say and clarify, you actually said that you are open to be engaged on this issue. And let me clarify that this legislation is not a legislation for a South African Youth Council. It's not. Yes, there is articulation of South African Youth Council being legislated within the proposed legislation. If you look at the best practices across, in particular in Africa, is that within the countries are expected or are obligated in terms of the resolutions taken by the heads of government that they should have national councils. The national councils serve to mobilize young people so that they consolidate the voice of young people. It makes our job even as government easier, because when there is something that needs to be communicated to young people, then we know that there is a representation of, there's a representative body that we can also talk to. Our view in government, or our view in the branch and in the department, is that if the current structure, the South African Youth Council, is not serving the interests of all young people, and I agree that many young people feel that their interests are not adequately represented by the current South African Youth Council, I would say let's not throw the baby with the water. But then either we can establish a new council which is going to serve as a representative organization. So that is actually our view. So I think over years, we have actually been lacking...
There we are talking.
Yes. Over years, we've been lacking political direction. We need a council in South Africa for young people. If you go to just our neighboring country, Namibia, they've got a viable council which organizes young people at regional level, which organizes young people even at local level. So a council serves as a mouthpiece. One challenge that I need to actually emphasize, which is a challenge, many of our youth, they are taken by several multilateral bodies.
They co-represent the country. And we don't know what they are being fed. Why? Because our youth sector is not organized. So we are advocating, and even in that legislation, we can delete the part that says South Africa. It can still be a South African Youth Council, but not the body that is currently existing.
Yeah, I agree with you, Dr. Penis, not that one. Because when you are writing that one cannot, we can, as lawmakers, can't support you in formalizing one structure that has been there having its own problems and challenges. So either you establish a right youth council for the country, not to formalizing the one that they know. We are not supporting that one. But we will support you if you are saying you want to establish a body. That's why we're saying, why can't you look at what the NYDA is doing and maybe change the concept of NYDA and the mandate of NYDA? You know, that's what we're saying.
Okay, so, let me go to what you have articulated. It then takes me to why did we establish a National Youth Development Agency? Establishment of the National Youth Development, you will recall that we had the Umzobombo Youth Fund, which was providing loans to young people. And then we had the National Youth Commission, which was focusing on policy making. Now, the gap that was existing was that there was no implementation of programs. Policies will be developed, but then there will be no implementation. Hence, a National Youth Development Agency was established to intensify implementation of youth programs and youth projects. Now, if we are to make an agency a council, it implies that it is going to be youth-led and it is going to be civil society-run. And then that in itself actually means that we are still going to fall short when it comes to implementation of progress. Our view, even through the National Youth Development Agency Bill, is that the focus of the agency must be primarily on intensifying implementation of youth programs in South Africa. Because many young people do not have, they feel that the impact of youth programs is not being felt within the sector. However, we acknowledge that the agency cannot do implementation alone. It must do implementation working with other sector, either a youth-run organization in private sector or civil society, and even government departments. So that is actually our view with regard to the agency. So I will conclude by saying on this matter that even if we have a National Youth Development Agency, we still need a council in South Africa, which is going to serve as a representative body for young people. And then the other comments that were made were regarding the Presidential Youth Working Group. On the issue of the Presidential Youth Working Group, the idea is that this platform, which is led by the president, should actually be a platform to provide the president with an opportunity to directly engage with stakeholders within the youth development space. And in doing that, the president can even hold accountable the stakeholders. For an example, government departments can come and present on the progress that they are doing in youth development. And then they can even present on and seek approval of annual set priorities. So that is why we have actually provided that hierarchy, which shows how we will be communicating. It means that it is going to start at local level, which is going to be organized by the National COPTA and liaising with the offices of the Premier. And then from there, at provincial level, we have offices of the Premier organizing provincial youth fora. And then at national level, we have got the National Youth Branch organizing the National Youth Development Coordinating Committee. Throughout all these structures, at provincial level, you are going to be having, I mean, at local level, decisions that are taken must be sanctioned by municipal council. At provincial level, they must be first sanctioned by provincial executive council. And then at national level, decisions must be sanctioned by FOSAT before they are presented through a committee of ministers to the Presidential Youth Working Group. So that is actually the hierarchy that we think can assist in ensuring that government departments, civil society, and private sector, they are held accountable for youth development. And then there was also the question on M&E. On M&E, we were asked if, are we able to do everything on M&E? Monitoring, our role in the department is to develop policy, but not to directly implement the policy. We are going to be responsible for monitoring and evaluation and ensure reporting on the policy. And capacity, whether we've got capacity, the capacity that we have is inadequate because we only have seven full-time, seven staff members within the National Youth Development Branch. And we can only do up to the capacity that we actually have. And the other question was, who will monitor and evaluate the policy at provincial as well as at local level? We utilize the existing capacity. For an example, the structure that we have spoken about, we are saying that a national co-opter should take charge of monitoring at local level, and then offices of the premier should take charge of monitoring at provincial level, and then we are going to take charge of monitoring at national level. However, in terms of accountability, given that the minister is the minister in charge of youth development, all these structures should ensure reporting through the minister in the presidency responsible for women, youth, and persons with disabilities. And there was also another question on the input of the NYDA. Indeed, we reflected the input on the NYDA, like for an DG mentioned, the issue of ECDs as well as the issue of the Presidential Youth Initiative. We can actually favor the portfolio committee with the actual input that has been made. Let me articulate, while talking about the issue of input, that the input that are reflected in the presentation is a sample input because we could not consolidate everything. But then on what Emmanuel had said is that by the time we kept going back to the stakeholders, we, in research, they say that you have reached a saturation point. Actually, we realized that no new input was received at that point. And some of the inputs that have not been received, they belong in the integrated youth development strategy. So it's not going to be information that is going to be thrown away. We are still going to make sure that when the NYDA is consulting on, is developing and consulting on the integrated youth development strategy, we provide them with the input that has to be integrated. On that basis, let me answer what Honorable Mbitsi has actually mentioned on the issue that this document must be a living document, a meaningful document.
Sorry, the chairperson has been kicked out. I don't know how, or maybe Nelisa can help to take him her in. Sorry, members. Chairperson has been kicked out by the system, and she has asked me to ask Ms. Masiko to continue with the meeting until we're done. Thanks.
Thank you very much, Neliswa. I was also kicked out. I've only just returned to the meeting. I'm not sure whether we are done with answering all the questions, or there are still any outstanding questions to be answered on the side of the department. DG,
still
answering. We were still answering. Yeah, Dr. Benis is responding.
Okay, you may continue, Dr. B. Okay, thanks, Honorable Masiko. I was saying that on the issue raised by Honorable Mbiti regarding making the policy alive. The policy is going to be made alive by the Integrated Youth Development Strategy, because the policy is articulate statement of intent. Actually, in this current policy, we even went to an extent of specifying some actions, because most of the time when we are presenting the policy, many questions that arise, they are not policy related, but then they are the questions that relate to overall strategy. So the strategy which the NYDA is going to be developing is going to give effect to implementation of this policy. Because, you know, when you look at the strategy, it is a general plan to achieve long, medium, as well as overall objective of the policy. And then there was also a question that was made regarding the budget commitment. Emmanuel has responded to that this is a sectoral policy. Budget is going to be required for new interventions, but then there are low-hanging fruit, as he already articulated. And what is going to be costed is not the policy. The strategy is what ought to be costed, because it is the one that is going to give effect to implementation. Various stakeholders will advise on whether they have got a budget in some areas, and then where they don't have any budget, we will clearly articulate that in the costing of the Integrated Youth Development Strategy. We welcome there was also a comment that was made on the amendment of the NYDA Act. Yes, the Act doesn't look at the board only. It actually even looks at the functions of the agency. It also looks at, you know, how can we strengthen the agency to actually deliver effectively. Finally, it was the issue of the exit opportunities. The National Youth Service Program that we articulate, which the NYDA is responsible for championing, we are saying that it must also, can also... you know, we can actually link it up with other public schemes programs. But then we acknowledge the need for exit strategies for various interventions, be it internship, be it public works or community works programs. I think I've covered. Let me hand over to the DG. Thanks.
Thank you, Chair. I'm not going to take long. I'm just going to focus on, because there were questions from members who were worried that how do we hold other people responsible, provinces and municipalities, on the implementation. Yes.
I will request for you to just wrap up. We're about to close our meeting. But before you wrap up, I will request the CEO of the NYDA to actually make some input. And then we'll hand over to you, DG, just to wrap up so that we can close the meeting. We've actually got less than 10 minutes left. In fact, we're over time. CEO?
Thank you, Honorable Masiko, and greetings to everybody and all the honorable members. I think the department has responded to the majority of the questions. I think it's important maybe just to give clarity on a couple of items. One is to say that the NYD was a stakeholder in the process of the development of the National Youth Policy. We are stakeholders in the amendment of the NYDA bill process. And we also supported the department in carrying out the various consultations that were undertaken. Two is to say that the NYDA Act mandates us to produce the Integrated Youth Development Strategy as a follow-up to the National Youth Policy. So whereas the Youth Policy sets out a more broad vision for South Africa's youth development priorities, the IYDA will give nuts and bolts and a cut across different functions of government and the targets for young people over the medium-term expenditure framework, but then also into the longer term, covering the period of the NYP, which we know is also linked to the NDP 2030. the last point perhaps that I should make is that I fully agree with honorable members with regards to budgetary constraints for the implementation of the youth policy. One of the items that the NYD highlighted was the fact that the previous youth policy was never fully implemented because funding was never made available for many of the priorities that were set out by the youth policy 2015 to 2020. There is indicators that this time it may be different because there seems to be a willingness to address the massive challenges that young people face in the country, and that takes high priority in the sixth administration. I think some of the indicators that are already showing, so colleagues, and I'll distribute this information to the secretary as well, so the youth employment stimulus has started the recruitment process for 300,000 young people to be placed in basic education facilities around the country, has started in earnest this week here, and that's part of phase one of the economic recovery plan announced by the president. So the indicators are positive. But I want to temper that with saying the overall budget over the next 3 years, as was outlined in the medium-term budget policy statement, proposes quite substantial cuts, mainly to higher education. And I think that concerns us a little bit, because you don't want to start reversing some of the gains that we have made in the education sector, particularly the higher education sector. What I would propose is that maybe at some point the committee should also have a deliberation, and we have our own deliberations with the National Treasury, but maybe it is important for the committee to deliberate with National Treasury on the budget set aside, and I'm talking about the overall fiscal budget for young people, be it in education, entrepreneurship, second chances, or anything else that the policy identifies. So thank you, Chair. I thought it's important that I make those inputs.
Thank you very much, CEO. We'll hand over to you, DG, to wrap up.
Thank you. I think the questions that have not been answered, we will submit in writing together with some of the commitments that we've made. Thank you, Chair. And some of the questions we'll respond on Friday. There was a question from Honorable Mpiti. We'll definitely respond on Friday.
Okay.
Thank you.
You can continue, Honorable Mastigo. It's okay.
No, Chair. We had given the CEO prior to the DG, and we requested the DG to wrap up so that we can close the meeting off. I think we've really come to the end of the meeting, Chairperson. Can you close for us? Thank you.
Yeah, thank you very much, Honorable Mastigo. IT is sabotaging us today. I felt exactly what our members have felt in terms of the IT cutting off our members, cutting out our members out of the meeting, and it's not a nice thing because you miss a lot of discussions that is done in the committee, and I think our staff members must raise that with the IT because it cannot be correct. That while we are busy, our meeting is in progression, and members are being taken out of the system. It's not correct. But thank you very much, DG, and the minister and DM in absentia, and the CEO for NYDA. Thank you very much for coming and for the presentation. At least we'll find each other. Because the robust engagements that we have done as the portfolio committee, it's not that we want to portray you as if you have done nothing, but it's because all of us, we have passion on each and in dealing with the government, dealing with issues of young people. You know that we have high rates of unemployment, graduates, and even those young people who don't have any skills, it's the responsibility of government to do something. So we together we can make a difference. But thank you very much. We are hoping that in the final draft will entail most of the same that have been contributed by other organizations and other individuals of South Africa, from young people, whether be it Honorable Song or from the rural area or any place, all those inputs will be taken serious by the department. But thank you very much, Honorable Members. And DG, I'm sure you can share with us the inputs that were made by other departments, so that at least we can be able to know what other departments have said and in relation to their submissions to the National Youth Policy. And thank you very much, DG, and Honorable Members. The meeting is adjourned.
Thank you. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you, Chairperson. Bye. See you at 3:00.